Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest life is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raise on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Lazy yellow moon coming up to tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh.
You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows. Down by the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night, just moving slow.
Don't Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh,
one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one, but three separate chat rooms. Talk to a lot of people that way. So, the Knight's Code of Honor, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. I posted that link to that picture in the chat room. It just gives you a little general concept of what it's all about here at the Knights of the Round Table. So, they say that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Which means when that chain is being stretched, the strength of the one particular link in there that is going to break first is basically the equivalence of the strength of the whole chain. So, why am I talking about a chain and a link? Well, there is this question about teamwork. You know, in nature, if you pay close attention, there's teamwork going on in nature. A lot of things happening. If you just take ants, for example. Ants have been known to, if they get to a spot where they can't cross, they'll literally begin to build a bridge using one another in order for everybody to succeed and get whatever is done necessary. Family, a good family is another good example of teamwork, because if you got a family that is willing to work together and play together and do things together as a team, then usually that family is successful in life and things just go pretty smoothly. And even during the troubled times, you know, they still pull together and they make things happen. You know, I posted a couple links inside the chat room over there at the superchat.html, and all of them are kind of inspirational things that have to do with teamwork. The first one, kind of funny because it actually has good and bad teamwork going on. But I won't spoil them for you. Just jump over there and take a look at them. And if you don't have access to the chat rooms at the moment, just sometime jump on YouTube and look up teamwork. And you'll be surprised at some of the videos, inspirational videos that you'll come across about people gathering together to get tasks accomplished. You know, yesterday actually had two families together. We actually kind of pulled together and used some teamwork and got what would have normally been a long and tedious task for the few, turned it into just a fun time and getting everything done in a quick order so that everybody could go on and get rest and do whatever else they needed to do. This whole talk about teamwork, I want to point you to that last little clip that I played about the ants. You know, the grasshopper in that show, Bug's Life, he was talking about how the ants outnumbered them 100 to 1. And if they ever found out about that, if they ever figured that out, then their way of life would go down the hill. That sounds kind of familiar. Sounds like the global elitist of the world and the control freaks of the world that try to ride out your freedoms with regulations and everything under the sun. Sometimes the weakest link in the chain ends up being some of our teammates. You know, we the people. It's like when your neighbor's in trouble, and instead of going over there and trying to help your neighbor out, you know, help them mow their lawn, maybe there's a reason why they haven't mowed their lawn or something. Maybe they ain't feeling well. Maybe there's something mechanically wrong with their equipment or whatever. For whatever reason, sometimes people, they look past freedom and they just want everything to look good around them. And so they'll call the authorities on individuals whose grass might be too tall. And the authorities go over there and they give them a warning, you know, you got to get this mowed by a certain time or we're going to give you a fine or whatever. Now that person may be sick. They may actually have to get out there while they're sick, and they may have to get out there and try to mow that grass just to avoid the fine. Then it could also be a case that maybe that person can't even afford to pay a fine and still can't get out there and mow the grass. So just by that one action, you put a whole lot more extra hardship on your teammate out there. Of course, you ain't a teammate yet because you haven't figured it out about working together and such. You know, like I said, families, the successful families in life, they know what it means to be a team player. If you go back and look in history at different cultures out there, they knew what it meant to be a team player. And throw grandpa off in the ditch somewhere or send him off to old folks' home, they kept everybody together. They took care of the young, they took care of the old, they took care of each other, and they worked together as a team. You know, some could say mostly out of necessity, because in order to survive, you had to work together. Otherwise, you know, you couldn't really get stuff done. And if it, even it's just you and your partner, you know. I also played that song in there, you know, Fishing in the Dark. It's a whole lot more to that song than, you know, meets the eye or the ear, however you look at it. You know, me and my wife, I think we make a good team. We do a lot of things together, and we get things accomplished, and things that normally, you know, would be really hard for one, we pitch in and make them easier on each other. So we do pretty good. We got a family, and we're taking care of our family and all that. And when we can get our family motivated, that becomes our team, and we're kind of like the motivational speakers of the crew. It's not always an easy task. Because once again, like I said, if you go back to the what we were saying about earlier about the weakest link in the chain, chain's only as strong as the weakest link. And one of the things about trying to motivate your team is to make sure that each one of those team members feel just as valuable as the next team member. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I think I was probably in 6th grade, 5th or 6th grade, somewhere around about. I don't remember the actual year, but we all got out on the playground, and they started picking team players. Of course, this particular day, just so happened I ended up being the last one picked. And I think I really wasn't picked. I was just the last one. And so I got assigned a team. So I didn't really get chose for the team. That's kind of dampened my spirits, so to speak. Kind of brought me way down there. So I didn't feel like I was even wanted on this team or the other team. I just felt like I was just going to get in the way. So my motivation and my spirit was all down, and I had a little bit of frustration to me. Well, it gets time for me to get up there and kick the ball for the first time on this team. I took all that doggone anger that I had inside me, and when that ball came towards me, I kicked it clean off the playground. I don't remember what they call it in kickball, but I made a home run. I kicked the ball and ran all the bases and scored a point for the team. Suddenly all the different people on the team were pretty much in shock, because here's this skinny little kid that just kicked the ball completely off the playground and made a home run, and they're kind of wondering why they didn't pick me to begin with. But they judged that book by its cover. Then they found out there was something different there. There's a whole lot of people out there that just kind of seem to get passed over because people don't think that they're either worthy or they're up to the challenge or whatever. Some of the most brilliant people in the world get passed by that way. Now you have to, when you're building a team, assess your team, those folks who really want to be in it to win it kind of thing. But once again, you can't also judge a book by its cover just because somebody doesn't seem to have the talents or the skills that you think is necessary. Those might be the most important members of your team. You know, sure, there are teams out there where you got like a quarterback that basically, you know, he wins the game all the time. You got a couple members on the team that are really strong, and they win the game all the time. And so everybody gets relying on these particular individuals, and then suddenly, you know, one day an injury happens or sickness or somebody can't show up for the team, and now the team who had relied on these individuals to be there all the time never was really prepared for the challenge, and so the team fails. So to think about it in the right perspective, one should try to uplift the spirits and skills of each and every individual on that team and make it so that they feel just like if anything ever come down, or maybe the quarterback got injured, that somebody else could step up in their place and do the job and win the game. You know, when we look out there at this world, we hear a lot of people naysayers that talk about why it is that we can't do things. In the alternative energy community, when I talk about it on Mad Science, people are always trying to point out why it is that something can't be done. I like to hear the ones that say why it is that things can be done. And see, here at the Knights of the Round Table, the concept of the Round Table to me, I thought was a pretty impressive deal back when I very first heard a story about the Knights of the Round Table. See, everybody on that, sitting at that table, were sitting there as equals. That includes the king. And the best teams out there have a team leader, or the best crews on the job side with the foreman, are the teams that the foreman is actually in there working with the team, with the crew. The team leader is actually right there in the mix. He's not barking out orders and telling everybody what to do and how to do it. You know, he's right there in the mix. Everybody's a leader on his team. That's what makes a successful team. That's what makes a successful family. You listen to, you know, people when they talk. There's a saying out there, work smarter, not harder. It makes a lot of sense. Because if you're resting on the power of the weakest link, you know, the weakest guy in the crew, a whole lot of compensation has to go on to make up the difference for that. But if you set the pace at the weakest man and you just keep a steady move forward, you'd be surprised how far you'll get. Might even enjoy the job, as far as that goes. You know, the United States Constitution says we the people on it. But Barbara Slico posted a link of, it's actually on the New York Times, talks about the Iroquois Constitution, a forerunner to the colonist democratic principles. It's things in history that kind of got overlooked a bit. Some of those folks actually knew what it meant to be a team before we even heard the word team, I guess. So, what am I trying to say here? Supposedly there's close to 9 billion people on this planet. Governments of the world and corporations of the world and propagandists and all those folks, they figured out kind of like what that grasshopper figured out. If you can take the motivation out of the team, which is we the people, if you can convince the each of these individuals on a one-to-one basis that, you know, things can't be done, and you can keep them continuously pitted against one another, then you can make sure that they never are able to form a team. They're never able to use their true strength, which is unity. I talk about all of us coming together as one and getting things done, not under some one world government or some one world ideology or even a one world banner, just under a concept of we want to live in a better world. You see this a lot in times of need, such as Hurricane Katrina and there's now Harvey and I can't even remember what the other one here recently, I think they got one out there called Jose now. Anyway, what I'm saying is, most of the time when you see something like this come together, usually the average Joe is in there before the leadership of the nations. The average Joe's the one gathering up clothing and food and water and risking their safety to go in and help total strangers to try to, you know, ease their burden. It's the average Joe that's out there like the ants building that bridge to help people across. That concept is something that, you know, really isn't taught to its fullest extent in schools. If it was, then days like what I had whenever I was, fifth or sixth grade, I can't remember. Let's just say it was in sixth grade. That way we can give them a little extra credit. But if that was the case, then I would have never been made to feel that way just because somebody looked at me and I was a skinny little kid and, yeah, he ain't going to be able to help us win. They wanted the best players on the team. Little did they know I had a power inside me with a little bit of focused energy and rage from all the frustration of being kind of left out until the very end. Just kind of like got appointed. I didn't get selected. But I made it on the team. And I kicked that ball completely out of school playground. That kind of surprised them. Of course, the attitude towards me changed out a lot from that point on. I was the last one to get picked on the kickball team. But nonetheless, there's a lot of individuals out there that get overlooked like that. And those are the individuals that probably have some sort of talent that might just surprise you. I put it on there, teamwork, and I put a question mark on there because these days it's like pulling teeth trying to figure out a way to get people together and motivated. I want to challenge the world. I want to challenge the world today. I want to challenge all the communities out there. Anyone within earshot of what I'm saying. I want to challenge you to go out for any purpose, whether it be just to put together a lunch or a barbecue or just a family event or whatever, and just try to motivate a team. Make every member of your team feel like they're the best member of your team, and make it a good time, a fun time, an educational time, and show them what could actually be accomplished when they decide to work together. You know, I also posted a link in there of the President of the United States. For whatever you think about him, he's a team leader. He's a motivational speaker. At least that's his job. To get out there and help with some wisdom and some guidance, do whatever it is that needs to be done. And he also spoke about the Constitution. Where, so, with some of what he said in there, I kind of hesitant to agree with. You know, I know you got to be for the team, but you also got to understand that there's other teams out there in the world trying to do the same thing, trying to accomplish things. So I would say under those circumstances, you swallow the pride a little bit. You know, swallow the honor a little bit. You know, it's one thing about winning. There's another thing about rubbing it in people's faces. Maybe that don't make sense to most folks out there, but I think that when you win, you feel good about yourself. You feel good about the work you've done. You feel good about the team. You just do it in an honorable way. I think about all these different versions of teams out there. You know, when you look at the military, there's not one man goes out there and wins a war. He got a team. He's got a backup for a backup for a backup. And yeah, that's a good one. Stephen Gibbons posted the difference between a leader and a boss. The leader is the one, he's at the front of the rope. This is a brilliant picture. I'm going to have to borrow this picture and post it up here on the deal. That one is definitely brilliant. Yeah, that's that's a good one, Stephen. Folks, I wish you could see the picture right now. It's got two pictures. It's the top one is the boss, and he's sitting at his desk and he's pointing at everybody and telling them, you know, do the work or whatever. And then you got our leader at the bottom down there. He's actually down in there with the crew, and he's the first one in line, and he's saying, let's go. That's brilliant. I love that picture. And that's another reason why I love this Knights of the Round Table. And the people that show up in the chat room, they are part of the team. They're the Knights as well. People passing around pertinent links to information and sharing things like this. He's got another one on there. Difference between boss versus leader. A boss drives employee, depends on authority, inspires fear, says I, places blame for the breakdown, knows how it is done, uses people, takes credit, commands, and says go. A leader coaches them on goodwill, generates enthusiasm, says we, fixes the breakdowns, shows how it is done, develops people, gives credit, asks, and says, let's go. That's another good one. I'm just going to have to borrow that one too there, Stephen. That is wonderful. Folks, that's the thing, you know. I experienced this yesterday. We were helping some friends unload some things from a garage sale. And it was acting as if it was getting ready to rain outside, and it was something that needed to be done quickly. And so I got my personal family, it's all loaded up and everything, and I had my crew with me, and I got my crew motivated, and we went over and helped my friend's family get all his stuff. And actually had more than we had. And then, not only that, is when we got done actually loading onto the trucks for them, we went our separate ways. My wife went up to the donation center to drop things that didn't sell off to the donation center. And then the rest of us, we went over to my friend's house and helped them unload the truck before it decided to rain on everybody. But in the process of doing that, one of my team members come up with a good idea about basically relaying stuff there. And I told him right there and then, that's a good idea, man. We started relaying stuff instead of people having to walk all the way up to the house and then all the way back and then all the way back up again, back and forth carrying stuff. We just started handing it off, you know. And of course, that's not an original concept, but nonetheless, at the point in time when we were doing this, it was an important concept because it eased the burden on everybody. That's the whole thing. And teamwork is something, you know, you got to really decide that you want to do. You know, if you really want to get things done, I mean, you could do them by yourself. You might even get one or two people to help you. Even those one or two people are going to be better than just by yourself. I think there was a phrase, something like that, about more hands make a lighter work or whatever. I can't even remember what that one is, but nonetheless, teamwork is something that's not always easy to motivate. I always talk about trying to build the dream team. Bring all the brilliant minds from around the world and get them together on a subject such as alternative energy and utilizing all the knowledge that we have at our disposal in order to be able to solve problems of the world. I know this is possible. I've seen it. But the only way you're going to get it done, I guess you have some sort of motivational speaker out there, like myself, saying, hey man, we can do this thing. Yeah, I think I when I sit there and I look at those pictures right there that Stephen posted in there, I think I would rather be a leader than a boss, that's for sure. I'd think the most important job is actually being the team member. People that want to gather together and make things happen to help everybody out. You see a lot of it. You just need to see more of it. During hard times, you know, I always wondered why it is that it takes a tragedy to bring people together. Our world's got a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on these days, and there's going to come a time when you're going to wish you had a really good team. But back to the challenge. I'd like to challenge people to go out and build a team. To do anything. Bake some cookies or something. Bring all your kids together and say, look, today we're going to work together as a team and we're going to bake some cookies. Then we're going to sit around and enjoy these cookies. And then when you do that, and you go through the entire experience of actually gathering people together, trying to be the negotiator for the complainers, trying to keep the constant motivation going on, I'd like you to come back on the Knights of the Round Table a week from now and tell me how that worked out. Tell me about your story. Tell the world about it. We got this work done so fast with my team when we got together to do that. I told a story a long time ago about how there was this huge pile of gravel out there in my yard. It's actually at the edge of my driveway, but nonetheless, next to the yard. And my son, he was really young at the time. And I was looking up at the house and I seen that we always had to go through this muddy patch in order to get to the house. And we had all that gravel. And so I asked my son, I said, what do you say you and I take these buckets and build us a walkway up to the house so we don't have to walk in the mud? And he looked at that big old pile of gravel, which was taller than him at the time. He's like, Dad, that's a lot of gravel. That's a lot of stuff. And I said, yeah, it is, boy. But if we just take our time, pick at it, and we just keep on working, have fun and rest and take our time, before it's all over with, that pile will be gone. And we'll have a walkway. And so that's what we did. We started working on it, me and my son. He had his little bucket and I had my bucket. And we'd fill our buckets up and talk about things and life and stuff. And then we would go up there and we'd pour the rocks down. And we made us a really nice looking walkway. And then eventually my wife and my daughter seen us outside doing that. And they joined us. They started doing it as well. By the time it was all said and done, I was standing there and the pile was all down and my son looked over there and he said, Dad, you were right. It wasn't that bad after all. I think he learned a valuable lesson that day. And I think I even was reassured of that same lesson that day. To try to get this world motivated to work together as a team is a challenge. It's an overwhelming challenge. We've got people out there in this world right now hurting each other. We got people out there in this world lying and stealing from each other. We got people being selfish. We got people believing that the whole world and possibly even the universe revolves around them specifically. What they haven't figured out yet is that concept of teamwork. They might be able to motivate their friends, but more in a boss type manner, more in a selfish type manner. What can you do for me? The question should be, what can I do for you? What can I do to help? What can I do to ease the burden of my fellow brothers and sisters around this world? Now think about that for a second. There's a lot of people who already do that. There's a lot of people who add inspiration on a daily basis to make things go smoother for somebody else besides themselves. Those are the kind of people that make this world what it should be. And if you're that kind of person, you're that kind of person that understands that your true power could be something as simple as a smile that you spread like a plague. You know, you the individual out there, you're more powerful than you think you are. You got more power than you can possibly imagine. You know, the ultimate power of love, that's one thing. But don't ever underestimate just the simple power of your words and the power of your actions. You can smile on somebody and that smile will travel throughout the entire globe. There's a concept out there that some folks have talked about in the past, something about the butterfly effect. And I always talk about the positive pebble in the pond sending the ripples out that affect all the people of the pond, all the inhabitants or whatever. And it's true. I wish that every single one of you out there who had the willpower and the love and the caring to just to try it out, just to smile at people, I wish that you had the power to see, to follow that smile as far as it went. Maybe it only went two or three people and finally found somebody who was grumpy. But nonetheless, even that grumpy guy got that smile. He didn't smile because of it. But nonetheless, you just took that smile off from your face and you put it down there. Put it out there to the world. That's the positive pebble thing. I put teamwork question mark because it's questionable. Can we together put together a team that would get something accomplished? Troubles that we always talk about. Solutions that need to be done. Knights of the Round Table, we sit here, we talk about all kinds of solutions. We give people all kinds of ideas. But an idea is only as good as you're willing, as far as you're willing to take it. It's like that weakest link in the chain, you know. You got a good idea, and if it was utilized right, boy, that'd be a strong link in that chain. Get some stuff done. So I want to challenge everyone out there, everyone listening, to, it don't matter how big your team is. Bigger the better, though. Go out there in your communities, gather up some of your friends, and if you can't get outside for some reason, do it online. Jump on Skype or Facebook or YouTube or any of the social media networks and gather up a team for any specific cause that you're choosing. It doesn't matter. The whole thing is to show yourself that it actually can be done. To show you exactly what can be accomplished. Some of y'all might have the your team may crash. There might be a weak link in your team and they might not follow through. But don't let that get you down, because I want to hear from those people as well on this show. Week from now, I'd like somebody to come back and tell me, you know, whether their team succeeded or whether they failed and why they think they succeeded or failed. Because those learning experiences is what's going to help benefit everyone else out there. These pictures that Stephen Gibbons posted, if somebody stumbles on that and they see the difference between being a boss and being a team, they put themselves in that team member's or employee's shoes. How would they like to be working under those circumstances? Tell you what, I want to be down there working with the guy who's the leader, who's right there in the midst of the crew. That's what makes a good leader. That's what would make a good king. That's what would make a good president. Somebody who wants to get down in there, get their hands dirty, and show the people that we're all on the same ground and we work together. I work for you and you work for me, and we all work together and we make things happen. You know, normally on the Knights of the Round Table, knights would just kind of jump in there once in a while. If you feel like you want to jump in there, be a good time to do that. Old King Shaziz the Terrible. You know, you can always use some words of wisdom from somebody else. See, I don't want everybody in this world to think that I'm a know-it-all. Because I'm not. But I have been around on this earth long enough to gather up a little bit of wisdom. I've seen things done the wrong way, and I've seen them done the right way. And I've traveled some paths. I've seen some things that I tell people. I said, I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And because of that fact, I want to try to do whatever I can, even if it's just something as a motivational speech on a radio show out there in the World Wide Web, and it only benefits one individual at a time. Doesn't matter. But the things that I want for my fellow brothers and sisters and my family and my grandchildren and my children and your children, I want them to have the blessings that they should have had from the time that they were born. I want them to, if it only for the least briefly, I want them to see what it is that I see when I look out into this world. It's amazing. There's so much brilliance and there's so much beauty out there that just go overlooked because of trials and tribulations and things that people miss out on. I look at some of these screensavers that are on my computer that some of them just scroll from one picture to the next, but some of the people that actually took these pictures must have really had love or, you know, brilliance in their heart, because these pictures, they speak to you. As silent as that picture might be, it speaks to my heart and mind. And I can see, as I look out through this window that we call the internet, or I'm out there actually physically standing on the property where I live, and I'm out there and I'm looking at nature and I'm watching things, I'm being a good listener, and I'm paying attention to what's going on outside. And so with that, I've developed this profound respect and love for nature and the beauty of it all, the magnificence. Now, our Creator did something really wonderful when I put this thing together. And this this gift that we've been given to us, if it was ever to be properly utilized, there isn't nothing that we couldn't accomplish. When I say that you're more powerful than you could possibly imagine, you think about all the hard times that you've ever had in your life. And that you prayed for a miracle, and the miracle just to you, it never seemed to show up. For some reason, things just seemed to kind of keep on going bad. But if you feel like that now, or if you ever felt like that in the past, go stand there in front of a mirror and take a look. Because you, right there in that mirror, you are the miracle you've been waiting for. The moment you realize what you are, and the capabilities that you have, and that with your powers and the person next to you's powers, you two can create some really amazing things. And the more people you add to that mix, the more wisdom that you gather. It's like that's what that grasshopper was trying to warn the other grasshoppers about. You let them ants understand that they outnumber us 101, and our life will change. You are the miracle you've been waiting for. You're the brilliance and that piece of the puzzle that is the one missing piece that actually helped to complete that picture. I look out into this world and I see the amazing, it's art, it's beauty, it's just amazing, machinery, whatever you want to call it. In my mind, in my heart, that's not an accident. You know, in my book of faith, it says in Genesis that man was created in God's image. Whether you believe or don't believe, that's not the point. But if that was the case, then that makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny. It's man that creates wars. It's man that creates starvation and sickness. And it's not because we're some sort of blight on the planet, because we're here to learn. We're like students in life. Otherwise, there wouldn't be such phrase as wisdom, you know. Word as wisdom. The meaning behind it. We wouldn't have learned to be the people that we are if we hadn't went through all the trials and tribulations. We wouldn't be who we are. There's a deal that they call the Valley of Blessings. From what I understood from listening about the Valley of Blessings, those were the worst times. Those were the times when everything was going bad. So how in the heck could that be considered to be the Valley of Blessings if that was the toughest times of your life? Well, those tough times in the Valley of Blessings actually gave you the knowledge to defend yourself or to know the knowledge when the time was needed, that you either was able to help somebody out and you had the strength and the knowledge to do so because you'd already lived it. And so even through those worst parts of your life, those trials and tribulations, you learned something that was so valuable that you were blessed. You think about that, all the things that you've been through in your life, the reasons why you care about people. You don't want them to walk down the same road that you walked down. You don't want them to have to suffer through the same struggles. And so with that said, your power just got even stronger. Because not only do you got the power of the spoken word, you got the power of the pen, you got the power of your love, and now you got the power of the wisdom that you had acquired through all your trials and tribulations in your lifetime. See, in my mind and heart, our Creator didn't build any trash. He only created treasure. He or she or whatever the case may be, whatever you believe our Creator to be, nonetheless, it doesn't matter. However this got here, the only thing that was ever created is treasure. And that includes you. You look out there, everything has a purpose under the sun, even some of the things you might think to be super obnoxious. I despise flies, but I know they got a purpose in this world. It's just when this world is not being taken care of the way good caretakers should do the job, that we find ourselves in these trials and tribulations yet even again. I'm just one person. I'm just one piece of this puzzle. You're the next piece of the puzzle. I ask you at the end of every single show to just do me one small favor for all the words of wisdom that I put out there that I hope are beneficial, and that's to share it, pass it along, to be that second wave of the second positive pebble in the pond, and just spread it out. That's where you take your power and you utilize it to motivate somebody else down the line. You know, there's a thing called pay it forward, and it's really amazing when you actually do it. You standing in line at the store, you paid for your products, whatever it is that you bought, and you had a little extra money, and you feel a little blessed, and so you drop some money down on the counter, and you tell the cashier to take this money and put it towards the next person in line's bill, and then you walk off. And then when they think about a total stranger just doing something like kindness like that, it's amazing. There's so many different examples of that. So the challenge once again is go out into your community. Get on your computer. Find a cause, any cause. It doesn't matter what cause. Just get your people together. Ask all your friends. Say, I could really use your help for a while. Won't take long. I just would like to have your help. Tell them what the plan is, what you want to accomplish, and see if you can get it done. That's what the Knights of the Round Table tries to do all the time. Tries to bring the brilliant minds to the table, because it's the brilliant minds that are out there. When those brilliant minds come together, you'd be surprised. If you've listened to these podcasts long enough, you've heard words of wisdom come from every nation out there. You've heard brilliance come from all different directions, and sometimes even the most unlikely of places. You've actually probably listened to us go through trials and tribulations just trying to hold this thing together. networks trying to help bail out other networks and us trying to keep everybody motivated and on track to trying to remember what the whole entire thing was all about. If you look over to the right of the Super Chat Room, you'll see the old Awake Radio chat room. And it's been preserved in the honor of the founder, was Granada Steve. He was with me on many journeys through this whole entire deal, trying to, we helped each other, and we tried to do our best we could to be good leaders, so to speak, and keep everybody motivated to believe in themselves and to let their light shine. Well, we since lost Granada Steve. He went on to the next life. And even though it was sad, his legacy is still alive. There's still branches off of what he was doing back there. He planted the seeds that are still branched out. This chat room, it's going to be up there until it disappears. And it won't disappear because of my choice. It'll disappear because maybe somebody won't use it enough or whatever. Or somebody might sell the company or the server may go down. But nonetheless, it will always be up there as long as I can keep it there. And it's preserved in the honor of the founder of Awake Radio, Granada Steve. But most of all, it's preserved for my friend. Because he was my friend, and a really good friend to me. He may have had problems with somebody else, maybe people didn't get along or whatever, maybe they had disagreements, but as far as his and I's personal relationship as friends, he was always there for me and I was always there for him. That's what friends do. And we put together one heck of a team. If you go down there and you look at the TCT chat room down there, you'll note that there's another wonderful team over on that side. TCT Radio out there and all the other affiliated networks that they had gathered together and friends, and they keep the thing going. They're a wonderful team as well. They're not just team members, they're family and they're friends. And the brilliance of it is, we got three wonderful chat rooms on one page, and we could probably squeeze in some more. If this concept of what we're talking about, if it touches your heart, and you want to share your chat room, and you want to be in here, and you want to be part of this kind of movement, or whatever you want to call it, we got no leaders. Well, we got lots of leaders. Everyone's a leader. But we got no bosses here. We're just a bunch of people who have gathered wisdom and have enough love in our heart to try to take that wisdom and motivate it towards doing something wonderful for the world. That's what it's all about. There's some really brilliant conversations that go on in these chat rooms. If you just take the time to scroll down and you look and listen to what people's saying, you might just find some folks out there that think exactly the way that you do. My dad, when he was alive, he used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Some folks say like minds. I'm trying to read through some of these comments because I missed out on a lot down there at the bottom of the chat room. I get on a roll sometimes, folks. That's why I need people just to jump on here and talk with me, because I get on a roll sometimes. And I overlook some of the brilliance that goes on in the chat room. That's it's not just the guy on the radio that's spewing out words of wisdom. It's brilliance from people in the chat room having conversations, responding to what I'm saying. And I should be on my toes and be able to catch it all. And, you know, little phrases like no selfishness, just sharing. That's that was Barbara Three Crow in there. And Stephen Gibbons, he's always got something amazing to say. Folks, if there's any Knights of the Round Table out there that want to join me on this subject, I sure could use your help right about now. Old King Shaziz the Terrible isn't like always the fastest turtle in the box, so to speak. I just have so much on my mind, and I'm sitting here, I'm trying to shout it out to all four points of the compass and trying to get people out there in the world to understand that they have more power than they give themselves credit for. They have more power than they could possibly imagine. And if they could ever understand that, like that grasshopper was telling all his fellow grasshoppers, if those folks ever understand what their true power is, if they ever figure out that they outnumber us 100 to 1, by George, our life is changing. That's what he was trying to tell them. I'd bring Barbara in here. She's a wonderful soul. And a brilliant person. Well, hello there, lady.
Hi there. I just couldn't let you be there all by yourself.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like I'm sitting there, I caught some of the conversation between you and Stephen in the chat room, and there's brilliance that I'm just not. I'm sitting there trying to spew out words of wisdom to all four points of the compass, and I'm missing out on brilliance over here that I want to share with the world.
Well, I felt like I didn't have much to say. So I figured I'd just pop in a few little points.
Well, you know what? It's not always the quantity of what you say. It's the quality of what you say.
Yeah.
I've heard some little kids come across some one-liners before, and they say that, you know, from the mouth of babes, you'd be surprised at wisdom, you know?
Oh, boy, do I know that. Yeah. Yeah. So, are we on?
Oh, yeah, we're live.
Oh, okay, live. Well, I'm.
I was just
loving to hear you. Of course, always love to hear you, and you know, you get me thinking about things. And I'm here in my room and think, well, how can I? What are you talking about? And these are really wonderful things you're saying. Very important. And I'm thinking, well, how can I? What's inside my own heart or mind that I could offer around this particular subject, you know? So that's how it works, I guess. And, you know, so I just heard you saying you need some help there.
Yeah.
When anybody says, I need help, there you go, right? Teamwork.
Yeah. See, I put teamwork on there with a question mark because, you know, teamwork's a choice. You got to choose to be a team, you know? It's not something that just happens. You choose to work with your brothers and sisters around the world, and that's when things get done. If you try to be your own team, somebody said there's a phrase out there that there ain't no I in team or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, Stephen said no woman or woman or men is an island, you know, and we all need someone to do something, as we don't have time here in this short life to master all the skills. So we need someone's help at times in our lives. And that, when he said we can't master all the skills, I feel that we're all born with beautiful gifts, right? The Creator gave each one of us a gift. And to me, they're meant to be shared, you know, with others, to make the whole circle, you know?
Yep. And that's where that picture that I keep talking about all the time, that I keep posting in the chat room about the circle with the one person standing outside saying that you are that missing piece.
Oh, yeah.
And if people only understood the value of themselves, see, that It always saddens my heart when I think that somebody feels so bad about their life and themselves, and that nobody had recognized it to the extent where they rushed over and they pointed out to those folks, yeah, you're a heck of a lot more valuable than you think you are. You know, you think about a family member that maybe one of your family members that's like really obnoxious and they always seem to find themselves in trouble. But you take that person completely out of the picture. I mean, they're gone. I mean, they decided to make the glorious leap off the side of the cliff or whatever. You know, they're gone. Now there's a piece of your family missing. That piece that may have been, as crazy as it sounds, Barbara, it may have been the glue that held your family together, because you all are coming together to try to guide them back onto the right path to make their life better. You see where I'm coming from with that?
I do. I see that. I'm always telling people how significant every one of you people are. So you really don't realize it, but you're all a part, you know, like a piece of to the big puzzle, you know. And yes, even in families where there's like what they call the black sheep, right?
Yep.
Even in those situations where there's somebody who always upsets the apple cart, or always, you know, doesn't follow the rule, or is the outsider, you know, the outsider is an amazing person. You know, they sort of like push people's buttons and they upset the apple cart, but there's something going on inside of them. I feel like you just said, maybe nobody really saw them. You know, maybe they never got that validation of their specialness or their importance. So they're trying to make everybody see them, and of course they're doing it in the wrong way by being obnoxious or bully, or the one who's pushing people, you know, pushing people's buttons.
Somebody once told me that sometimes kids will act out because even to them, bad attention's better than no attention.
Exactly. Yeah, but if you have the heart and you go to that person and you show them how significant they are and how much you appreciate them, that's going to be huge for them, you know. They'll have to look at something then. They'll have to think about something, because they never got that, and you're saying to them how much you appreciate them. And I know you have some beautiful things about yourself, you know. I know you have a gift inside of yourself that you're probably, you know, longing to share, but don't dare, or because you'll be reprimanded, or you'll be shamed, or, you know, that's how a lot of people live their life. They hide themselves because they don't want to be picked on or shamed for their beauty and their gift, you know?
Well, I'll tell you one thing's for sure. If you ever experience, like, let's say you just did what you were talking about, and you went and talked to somebody who would maybe have been classified as the black sheep of the family, the moment you see that light come on in their eyes, and the moment you'll literally see a difference in the energy level that these individuals will have when they finally first get to hear somebody say something positive about them, and they're no longer the weakest link in the chain. You see
That's
what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah. It reminds me of, because I've done this with some people, you know, like the people that other people talk about, who are, you know, always talking nasty about, well, they did this, or they're not this, or they're not good enough, or they're the problem, they're the troublemaker. I always try to go to that troublemaker.
Yeah.
I open my heart to that, if I find a way, you know. I think it's so important, because inside of that troubled person, or the troublemaker, the black sheep, is something that's hurting them, you know, and how do we help that person, you know? And so, you know, like you talk about teamwork or working together, most people, when there is a black sheep or somebody who's not, you know, up to standard or whatever, the outsider, if people made the effort, you know, to open their heart, to see that that other human being as a sacred being who has a troubled heart. That would make a difference in the whole world.
I think I got a prime example of that. Now, I know it's just in movies, but there's this series that me and my wife are watching together. I think it's called Once Upon a Time. It might be something different. By the way, it's where this wicked witch puts a curse on all the fairy tale characters, you know, like Rumpelstiltskin and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and all of them. Basically, puts this curse on them where they're stuck in this one city or one town and they don't know who they are and there's this big drama going on. Well, when you watch her as a character from watching where she came from in the story, and you get to points where you don't like her, you want to hate her, you know, because she's doing all these evil things. But as they go through the story, little bit by little bit, they're showing little nuggets of her true self, such as what they did before she became evil in the story. And then, even during the time when she's still evil, she's still got a heart that is beating inside there, that she's got this child that isn't her biological child, but she still calls him son, and she actually has love for this child. And even though she's trying to be good, you know, she still finds herself going back to the evil path, but her son has helped guide her towards that good heart, and the people around her have helped her remember about that good heart. And through this whole deal, I was actually talking to my wife, and I told my wife, I said, I feel kind of sorry for that lady, you know, I mean, because I remember what she did, where she came from, where she been, all the rotten things that she did, and the kind things that she tried to do along the way in order to redeem herself. You see what I'm saying?
And I do.
Those kind of people out there with the troubled hearts, you know, you may learn to hate them. But as every single soul out there, we all have free will to choose how we're going to be every day. Some people just choose to be rotten. I mean, for whatever reason, selfishness or greed or just, you know, sheer ignorance of what life is all about, or for whatever purpose, they decide to just walk that dark path, and it just looks like there is absolutely no redemption for that person, which is sad. Because even if you go back and you look at stories like the supposed terrorist or boogeymans like Saddam Hussein or even Gaddafi over there, regardless of what they did in their life, and some of which they may have been really terrible, but to watch, you know, as terrible things are happening to them, a good-hearted soul couldn't sit idly by and find joy in that. We watched one of our leaders actually wring her hands together, and she smiled, and she said, "We came, and we saw, and he's dead," you know, and I'm like, to myself, I mean, maybe he really did do some terrible things. I don't know the true story, because I don't know the difference between what the mainstream media is telling me, the truth or lie, because they haven't really had a really good track record.
So yes.
I can't judge this man, and it isn't my place to judge this man. But to see anybody find any joy and harm in anybody, that's what really disturbs me.
Oh boy, that really disturbed me too. Just like the remark, her remark about the people who are voting for Trump are deplorables.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this tells a lot, tells me a lot about that person, about her, who was saying those things. Yeah, and wringing, you know, like almost like her hands, like in joy and glee when they were watching that, you know, you know, Osama being murdered and
yeah,
and so on. And, you know, I've been praying for, I was just out on the land last night with the sacred fire, and I put out some prayers for, you know, Kim Jong-un. I said to Creator, I'm asking you to help him, to touch his, open his heart and waken his spirit, you know, and help him to turn away from this nuclear obsession. And, you know, I mean, I'm praying for these people. I don't hate that man. I think we need to pray for these people. I mean, if we believe in Creator, if we believe in God and the power of prayer and the power of love, well, what are we doing, you know, talking bad about these people and acting like, you know, evil persons ourselves by saying, I hate that person, or we should just bomb them, we should just kill them all. And
yeah.
But yet we're God-fearing people.
Even
so, you know, yeah.
Even with Hillary, you know, I even find sorrow in my heart for her because, you know, I don't know what's really truly going on in her life. I know the stories, all right? But if she doesn't deserve redemption, then maybe I don't deserve redemption. You know, I'm no
and
better.
And who are we to say, right? Who am I to say that she doesn't deserve redemption?
Yeah.
I can't say that. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not the Creator. I'm not God. I can't say that. We don't know what the plan is.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. You know, in my book of faith, Jesus talked a lot about forgiveness. You know, he talked a lot about turning the other cheek, that kind of stuff. But
and loving people and helping people and being compassionate and. And are we, you know, I don't know. I see the opposite happening. I see the rise in such things that are opposite of what, you know, Yeshua or the word of, you know, who Yeshua brought the word of his, you know, Creator of God. I was just recently looking at a video or article about who will be raptured and who won't be raptured. I mean, I don't know about so much about believing even in the rapture. I just know that there is a source. I believe in Creator. I believe in that's our source, our where we came from in that light or divine love or whatever you want to call it. But some of the people call it rapture, being raptured. And these are supposedly, you know, Christian people. And this article was talking about they claim to be Christian, but they are not following the word of Jesus,
yep.
The teachings. They're not following the teachings, you know, which is about love and forgiveness and compassion and helping each other, like you're talking about, helping each other, that teamwork. And so that's the big message in my estimation at this point in our time,
yeah.
is if you aren't right, what I call right with your Creator, right with God, meaning following the teachings that were sent here to all of us in order to, whatever you want to call it, to be raptured or to enter into the light, it doesn't matter what it is, but if you are on the other page, you know, with prejudices and hatreds and judgments, you're not going to make it.
That's right, and that's why I said, you know, and as crazy as it might sound, because maybe she did do a lot of evil deeds, but, you know, I've seen the darkness. I've seen it firsthand, and
yes.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And so with that said, I feel bad for her because, you know, things seem to have a way of coming back around. You know, what you do to people, they seem to, you know,
that's
some
right.
people call it karma or whatever.
Right.
But They do have their way of coming back around, and so every choice that you make, if it's going to be an evil one, you just better expect that someday that alligator is going to be biting at your behind next.
Well, let's look at something that people might think is a little out there, but I like to look at these things anyway. Let's say that Ms. Hillary was sent here by God. We're all sent here by God, but specifically her or others who we look at and we believe are vile and are doing horrible things and they're bad people. And as we talk about free will, Creator gave us free will. So we have free will to choose how to respond to this other human being.
Yep.
And if we choose hatred upon that person, okay, then Hillary is right, the big test. Let's say she's here to challenge us.
Test our faith.
That's right. I'm just saying, God uses people in strange ways.
Yep. I agree. I agree, and that's brilliance. And actually, listening to you explain that made me self-reflect. And so maybe that's what needed to be heard, is something what we just spoke about, for people to self-reflect. Before I throw my hate out there on people, I got to understand what the consequences of that. You know, I know what it is to throw love out there, and I love to get love. So, you know, hey, maybe that's kind of a selfish thing there for me. I love to be loved, so I want to love everybody that in the world, and that way, you know, they'll love me back.
Well, you know, when you know how it is, when we do something, help someone, or give, or love someone, or forgive someone, when we do these things, we feel differently. We receive something. Yep. And so it's the same thing when you hate someone, or when you send out bad thoughts or words towards someone. Yeah, you receive something, but it's not going to be pretty.
holding on to a grudge is really tiring, because if you get mad at somebody, and every time you think about them, it takes energy to try to keep yourself calm and, you know, not to dwell on, you know, like my neighbor. I had a neighbor over there, him and I got in a dispute a while back, and it got to the extent where I went up and put no trespassing signs facing his front door and his yard. So every single day he'd have to come out his door and he'd see no trespassing on his, you know, beautiful tree line or whatever.
You did that?
Yeah, I did that. I was so angry and upset, but, you know, my conscience, my little Jiminy Cricket or whatever you call it, on my shoulder just kept talking to me. Said, you know, you only got one neighbor that you have a no trespassing sign facing, and you know it ain't right. And it kept grinding on me and grinding on me. And so finally I went over there, and even though, you know, I didn't really like his response, I just said, you know what, I don't care what this man says or what he does, I'm going to give him forgiveness, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness for, you know, being a jerk. And so I called him over to the deal. He didn't really want to talk to me, but I told him, look, you know, I want to apologize for being a jerk. And I said, I want to invite you over sometime so I can show you what it is I'm working on here. I said, ain't no rush, just whenever you get a minute of free time. And then I not only went down there and I pulled down all the no trespassing signs facing his house, but I put a nice little gate up there with a little latch where he could come through anytime he wanted to you know, see his neighbor. And I even went down and got the weed eater and mowed off a little patch of grass that blocked the gate. When I did that, I actually felt a weight lifted off of my heart and soul, that it doesn't matter to me whether he decides to continue being a jerk or nothing like that. I dropped what I shouldn't have picked up to begin with.
Right. But that was a beautiful teaching for you.
It was.
You know, that's what it's all about. It's like the free will that we have, that these people come into our lives and we think, oh, this is a terrible person, or this guy frustrates me, or I don't like that person. There's your test. There's your spiritual test right there. And did Creator send that person in your face? Possibly. I mean, I'm going to vote for that.
So am I. You know who I believe?
I call them the petty tyrants. The petty tyrants are our biggest teachers.
Do you know who I believe the Creator sent to me to work through this issue that I had with my neighbor? Think about it for a second. There was a turtle. And he was sitting there and he was just looking at me. And it came over my heart that, you know, I got a wonderful blessing going on here, and I need to make peace with my neighbor. And I saw it from a turtle's eyes, and I believe our Creator set that turtle down.
Believe it too. I do believe it. I do right there with you. I do. But I'm looking at, see, this is what I mean about what's happening today. How it breaks my heart and makes me really sad to see the hatred and the prejudices rising, and people spewing such vile stuff at each other, at another human being, instead of choosing goodness and love and compassion and understanding and communication. Let's sit down. you know, let's sit down and have a conversation instead of fighting each other, because that's your spiritual test. I think this time in our timeline here is about the biggest spiritual challenge and test that we are going to ever have.
Yep. And that story that I shared with you that and everybody about, you know, me hanging no trespassing signs, see, I ain't perfect. I'm just a human just like everybody else. I allowed my anger and my frustration to basically, when I hung those no trespassing signs up there, I did it out of anger, you know? And it didn't stop there.
Yeah,
you know, I carried that grudge around with me because I was angry because of the things, the ways that he treated me and his wife treated me because of a issue that I had about, you know, them allowing somebody to cross my property. Well, when I got to thinking, I'm sitting here watching Goliath down here, and he's looking me in the eyes, and I'm sitting here, this ain't my property.
Right.
It never was my property.
It's Goliath's property.
It's Goliath's property.
And you're trespassing.
Yeah. And that's what I...
Oh, yeah.
As crazy as it sounds, Barbara, I learned that from a turtle.
No, it's not crazy. That's how we learn. The animals are our teachers. And boy, they work hard to teach us, don't they? You know, I feel that these things that people obsess about, you know... Did I lose you?
No, I was just trying to add Muddy into the call. I'm still listening.
That people that obsess about these things, it comes an obsession, you know. It rolls around in your head, and you get steaming and frustrated and angry, and you're having these conversations with yourself over and over again about that person.
Yeah.
That's going to make you sick.
Yeah.
That's how people get sick.
I even lost sleep at night over the doggone deal because it was just frustrating me how somebody could be, you know... Keep in mind, when I apologized for being a jerk, he didn't apologize for being a jerk, but I let it go.
Well, you're a bigger man than him, and that's the point is your spiritual path, your heart path. That's what it's about. Your creator looking at you.
Well, my spiritual path witnessed some healing that day because I let go of something that I should have never picked up. And
well, I don't know about shouldn't. I never use that word. I use these opportunities, like you described your experience. I use these if I awaken, thankfully, and like you did, and change my behavior and reach out. I use that as a powerful teaching. Like you are teaching, your story is teaching someone out there listening. Okay. That's what I do. I look at it this way. It's a beautiful teaching that you are sharing your own experience where, yeah, you fell off the path. You were a jerk, in your own words.
Yep.
And you weren't coming from your heart. You know, you kind of stepped away from your very powerful and strong love for Creator. You know, because I feel we are the hope of Creator. Creator is looking at us with hope that we're going to change things. We're going to be creating the love here. We're going to be creating the circle whole again.
Yeah.
So I look at that as not a shouldn't. I shouldn't have done it. I look at it as grateful. This was a powerful teaching for myself or you. And I share it with people that I talk to and teach in my circles. I share my own foolishness with people.
You're right. Did you hear earlier in the show when I talked about this deal that they call the Valley of Blessings?
No.
Well, essentially, I'll go ahead and repeat it, but because somebody might just be joining in. But the Valley of Blessings, according to the way that it's told, is literally the worst times in your life. It's the hard times, the trials and tribulations. And there are people like, well, that don't make no sense. How could that be a valley of blessings?
That's right.
If it's all that.
But, yeah, well, it's the way you look at it, right?
But what you just explained and, you know, reminded me of is that episode between me and my neighbor was part of the time when I was in the Valley of Blessings that actually, when it was all said and done, gave me a little bit of wisdom that I otherwise wouldn't have had I not been there.
Yeah, and you know, you said, well, he didn't say he was a jerk either, but you know, that's not the point. You planted a seed. And I call us seed planters. Now, we plant a seed somewhere. When you go to your garden and you plant a seed, you don't hang there forever waiting for that plant to grow. You water it. Every once in a while, you'll go there and you'll talk to it, and you see a tiny little head peeking up. That seed is going to grow with the love that we give it. And with the, you know, as we planted that seed of compassion, you did that. And forgiveness of yourself and him and so on. That's a seed planter. You don't hang around screaming at the seed, hey, you got to change. You got to grow. You have to do this. It's in his hands now. It's his journey, his spiritual journey.
So as that seed grows in his heart and he looks across to that gate every day, one of these days I might just be expecting my neighbor to show up and say hi.
That's right. And that's in his hands now. Yep. Now that's all his journey. He can't say, oh, that shizzes this or oh, that shizzes that. You know, no, that's done. Now he's got to make a different choice. Free will. What is he going to do with it?
Yep. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm continuously amazed by some of the wisdom that comes up out of this show. Looks like we've been joined by Muddy. Are you there, Muddy? You got your microphone working?
I don't know. Is it working?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, nice. Hi, Muddy.
Hello, Gail. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm happy to be here with Shaziz this morning. And
I'm
you?
I'm always happy.
Well, have you been listening to what we're saying?
If it got any better, my toes would curl.
Yeah. So, Muddy, you got any words of wisdom? I put in the chat room. I don't know if you've been in there yet, but I put in the chat room when the show very first started. I put teamwork and I put a big question mark on there because, in my mind, teamwork is like that free will thing. You got to choose it. It's not something you just born into, so to speak, as far as understanding that teamwork is what actually gets things done. You know, we got all of our talents. You got talents. Barbara's got talents. I got talents. We've all been given a gift. There's not a single soul on this planet, in my belief, that hasn't been given a gift. And they're all pieces of the puzzle that make the entirety of the big picture.
I immediately wrote afterward, everybody stick their tongue out at once, and nobody did except me, so. Better have a team before you got teamwork. I figured maybe that's it there.
Yeah, that's what, there wasn't a whole bunch of people ready to stick their tongue out, so you didn't get them motivated. You gotta do it right or something.
Yeah, I gotta get their attention first.
Yeah. Sticking your tongue out might not get the attention that you want. Oh,
you have to have the fly first.
Yeah,
we're an audience. Ow. Oh. Yeah, wasn't nobody looking at the chat room I was looking at the time, I guess.
No, I saw it, but I see that emoji a lot coming from you. I laugh every time I see it. There's the old Muddy in there starting trouble again. He's trying to create a ruckus.
Oh, yeah, I'm a bubble maker.
But anyway, folks, look, it's a... This whole thing about teamwork and, you know, like I said, they say that the weakest link in the chain basically determines the strength of that chain. Yeah. And so when you're building a chain...
Strength of the chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
Yeah. So when you build a chain, you want to build your links as strong as possible. You want to allow these people to at least experience what it feels like to know that you care about them, to know that you know that they're worthy, and to uplift their spirit. And Barbara mentioned something earlier while we were talking about, and I said, you know, by doing that, you just gave that person, when you see that light come on inside them, and they realize, because you just told them how powerful they were, you just told them how needed they were. And that's just about what only thing that anybody else out there in this world, we're social beings by nature, you know. Nature put us together, our creator put us together. We're not meant to be alone. We're meant to be together. And so,
that's why he made Eve, because Adam wasn't, you know, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone there. See, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all the animals, then he created man, and man, did he have problems? So God created woman, and man, did he have problems.
Well, I hope your wife ain't sitting next to you.
Well, I want to talk about the chain, you know, the weak link in the chain. If you think there's a weak link in the chain, you've got to find that weak link. And it could be a person who's not, you know, in the flow, or who's annoying, or who's the one who's upsetting the apple cart. There's always going to be one of them. And we have to have, like you're talking about, we have to have the strength of this chain, you know, if we're all going to work together, you know. And so the best thing to do is not complain and not judge and not be angry, but go over to that and see what you can do to strengthen that weak link or supposed weak link. Like we said, it could be a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, a teacher for many, and including ourselves. And so how can we change the pattern of our behavior where we are judging others and getting frustrated and annoyed? So how can we change that behavior? Because that weakens the chain or the links even more. When we're out of it, when we're angry, when we're frustrated, when we're making judgments against others, we are weakening that strength of that chain ourselves, or the circle.
There ain't no weak link in my ball and chain.
So, you know, on the deal, especially when your links start going in separate directions, you know, and they lose their motivation or get frustrated and they walk away, you know, that's a problem. This world has convinced everyone out there that of all the things that you can't do, you know. The world should have spent the majority of its time convincing you of all the things that you can do. It's that can-do attitude, you know, that actually gets things done. You know, if you believe you can get something done, you know, Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And there's
I agree with you there. Look at how many people feel what's going on now in the world is too big, too much of a problem, and they can't do anything, you know? And then you look at these people who have made successes out of many failures.
Yep.
You know, those stories are wonderful. They didn't give up. They didn't say, oh, forget it, I can't do this. They said, no, I'm going to keep trying, keep continuing, I'm going to do this. And they did.
That one video that I posted in there, because I actually posted like three different videos on teamwork. And there's a couple funny little spots in here, but there's one on there where you see these ants, and there's a gap in the branch, and they can't get across this gap, but these ants literally create a bridge so that each other can get across there. There's so much that you could learn from nature. There are so many creatures in nature that have figured out working together that they can get things done.
Thank goodness nature's got it together.
Yeah.
That's all I could say. If
only we could mimic that, Barbara.
If
we, the people of the world, could mimic what nature has done, and we could learn how nature does things. If you pay attention, if you get out there, there's mechanical workings of epic proportions out there. It's amazing how things work. It's amazing watching a butterfly.
Don't you think that was original, the way it was originally? I do.
I believe it was.
That we learned from nature. Nature was our teacher, because people observed nature. They were out in nature. They listened and they watched and they experienced nature so much more, and they learned from nature.
And I believe the farther we got away from nature, the farther we got away from our Creator, the more we thought we were, you know, everything that is, and the more we people got greedy and decided to try to convince us, you know, to do what they wanted us to do as opposed to what we should have been doing all along. There's a whole lot more to being a caretaker than just the word alone, you know.
I think the further we got away from nature, the more sorrow we have felt.
Yeah.
And the more hungry we've gotten. Hungry for that, but thinking that what they're showing us, oh, this will make you happy. This, buy this, you'll get happiness. Do that, you'll be happy. Succeed this way, you'll be happy. You'll be successful. You'll be something. You'll be important. But they're missing the right, you know, the right message here. Is nature is the peace, is the key, I feel, about our humanness and our connectedness.
Yeah. What are you doing, buddy? Howdy. That's terrible for radio.
Buddy!
Leave it up to him. Hey, boy, shut it off. Buddy! You're killing us. Mama, I'm going to have to call you back in a second. I don't know what's going on, but all I hear is ruckus. Oh, sorry about that, folks. I don't know what's going on with Cody there.
What is going on?
I don't know, but boy, I tell you what, he created one heck of a ruckus. I had to drop.
Well, I feel this right now is about patience and compassion.
Yeah, I had to laugh because I don't know what he was doing over there, but it sounded like he was running a jackhammer. I'll try to add him back in a second, but man, that's bad for radio.
Very bad. Very bad for conversation.
Yeah, so where were we? I had some word.
I don't know.
I had some word of brilliance that I was getting ready to say.
I know you were. I know. I have no idea. I don't know. We were talking about ants and how nature. Oh, I know. I was talking about how the loss of nature in our lives has created a great sorrow. And instead, people are hungry for that, but they're looking in all the wrong places, you know.
Oh, I remember what it was now. I was getting ready to ask you, how many people do you think in this world had athlete's foot until tennis shoes were invented?
Oh my goodness, I guess we've got a long list of questions like that, right?
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, people would maybe run around barefooted a lot of times. They probably had some pretty tough feet, but
well, they lost the natural ability to walk and to run. You know, even the running shoes are screwing people's knees up.
Yeah.
And backs. You know, but you got to have the most expensive because they tell you that will, you know, put you in that higher echelon of runners. You know.
Yep.
I was looking at this. I read this book about the people in. The Indian people, the runners, the Huichol Indian people. I think that Muddy's calling me.
All right, we'll see if you can add him in. Well, we got a pause here for a second. Let me see how this works here. All right. You gotta love it. We got a Skype call going on, and Muddy created a ruckus. Let me see if I can call them all back. Let's see if I can figure this that one out.
But, in this book, they found out that the running shoes that people pay so much money for are really screwing up the knees and lower backs of the runners, because they just don't help the natural foot, the positioning of your feet on the earth as you're moving. And that's how the Huichol Indians were talking about them, how they can run for long distance, have no pain, how they learn to love running. They're not grimacing through this. They don't have like pain in their face while they're running up mountains and down pathways and for long distance. They love running. They have a joy of being on the Mother Earth running, and that was a big teaching. Are you all there?
Yeah, we're just listening to you.
That's even with the shoes that they made from tires or whatever?
Yes.
A whole lot better than these ones with all these arch supports and all that other stuff.
That's right. Well, that's what these young men who were runners in the United States learned about how those shoes are damaging people's physical structure.
So the farther we got away from nature, the worse our feet got. I tell you what, my cousin Charlie, he's a prime example of that. He wore them doggone cowboy boots one day. He come over to my house and He said, you mind if I throw my boots off? I said, no, brother, make yourself at home. And he kicked them things off, and I said, man, you're going to have to put them things back on.
Well, that's another thing. Your feet need to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to breathe. When they start getting soaked with sweat, and they can't get... Actually, you get some of the oxygen into your feet through your skin.
That's right.
You can't sit there and cover them up with oils. And yeah. Deposits that are coming out of your body, you know?
Well,
you know, most of the toxins in your body actually leave through your feet?
They wind up there, don't they? And then they leave out, yeah.
There's the best place to actually get rid of toxins is through your feet.
There's some folks out there that are firm believers in what they call grounding, is where you go out there and you stand barefoot in the grass and, you know,
that's right.
Get back to nature. And I tried it out. It really makes you feel good.
It does. But what about all this body odor?
Yeah.
I mean, really, think about it. You're all covered up. You've got all this deodorant with aluminum slather all under your arms and all these sprays and all this stuff.
We weren't meant to have aluminum on us anyway.
No, you don't think so, eh?
Iroquois, I tell you what, I can go for like 10 days without a shower. You won't smell my armpits, you know?
Well, you know what they say,
that's a trait of the American Indians.
That's true.
They don't have that body odor.
I'm the same way. I don't have hair on my body either. I mean, as a woman, and, you know, I mean on my legs and stuff, but so it's sort of like what we eat and then we covering up so our body can't, you know, move this stuff out of our feet or the, you know, the adrenal glands and all that stuff and the lymphs are trying to do their work and it's not helping and that causes a lot of illness, you know. So I'm not a nudist, but I think we should get our bare feet on that Mother Earth.
Yep.
Yeah, there's another thing. Basically back in biblical times, it was all sandals, man. It wasn't boots.
Yeah, sandals and like a natural woven, like, you know, cotton, just a shift, right? You know.
And your moccasins, oh my goodness. Now that gives you full flexibility of your feet and everything.
Yeah, so definitely a lot of, you know, issues with what we put on our bodies, clothing ourselves with expensive whatevers and ruining ourselves. That's what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, lots of things you got to know also. Basically, I studied acupressure as well as the massage and everything. And I didn't study acupuncture, but I studied acupressure. Do you know every organ in your body can be taken care of by a foot massage? Different parts of your feet?
Yes, I do.
Your
lungs.
And in between your big toe and your first toe there, and after that it's your liver, and
that's right.
I'm gonna post a link in the chat room. Years ago, I'd heard about this one particular doctor, Lorraine Day. She wrote a book called "Diseases Don't Just Happen," and in which she breaks down diabetes and heart disease and cancer and arthritis and lupus and allergies and stuff like that. She talks about a lot of natural cures, and she talks about how, you know, the body being a chemistry set, you throw that chemistry off, and that's where the diseases come in, which falls right into what you guys just got through explaining about how your body ain't naturally supposed to be, you know, covered up, you know, like leather boots that you can't breathe, your feet can't breathe. Obviously something's going to get out of balance there. These are the things that we need to teach our team out there.
Talk about teamwork in nature. Our bodies are nature, you know, and so when you create an imbalance with the physical self, you know, your organs are going to suffer. And it's not only the physical, it's the emotional, you know, because when we have certain emotions, like they affect our organs, you know, a lot of... There are certain diseases that you could look at an organ and see if the organ is stressed. That may be something to do with a certain emotion.
Yeah.
unforgiveness is one of the biggest developers of disease.
Well, we just had a talk about that. I shared a story with the grudge that I had against my neighbor there for a bit, and I didn't sleep good at night, and it made me feel more tired. So I actually experienced some physical illnesses of my own making because I was so frustrated at my neighbor for actions that he had did, and I put up no trespassing signs, and it drove me nuts. Every time I try to think about that, man, I get all frustrated, and I sit there thinking at night, and I'm like, right after I just got through, making peace with him, I had to question myself, did I do the right thing? Is the guy a jerk? Is this going to come back to bite me or whatever? And I had to just let it go. And after I let it go, and I said, you know what? If my neighbor wants to be a jerk, that's on his own nickel. That ain't mine. I put out the olive branch, so to speak. I made my peace with him, and now, like Barbara said, it's all up to him what he wants to do. But I didn't feel, I didn't feel it right that my only neighbor that had a no trespassing sign over to the north of me facing his house, I only had one neighbor that had that sign on there. And I'm just not by nature a kind of person that wants enemies, or I'd rather have friends. So however that turns out, it turns out. But I think I had a neat little friend down there in the he ain't so little, but that turtle down there in that pond, he shared with me some words of wisdom that day just with a look. That's brilliance, man.
Well, all he had to do was look at you.
Yeah.
It was like the communication was, what do you think you are doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You better wake up.
It worked. I listened. And that's the thing. If you want to know what nature's talking about, pay attention. Nature talks to you all the time. And I said this a while back, and I know you've experienced this as well, Barbara, that when I started working on this land, it was sick. It was overgrown. It was there wasn't very much wildlife around. It just seemed like a dull, drab place to live. But the more I got in there and I started working hand in hand with nature, I started watching wildlife moving back in. I started seeing deer on a regular basis, and rabbits, and wild turkeys, and squirrels, and animals that, who would want to live here before? But now, if you could only see it, to me, I'm watching a miracle unfold before my very eyes. I mean, not only is it's educating me, it's benefiting me and my family and making this place seem like, a peaceful little mini version of the Garden of Eden. I feel blessed. And the more that I work out there, the more that I'm sitting there and working alongside, old Goliath, he sees me down there skimming off the water mill off the pond, and he sees me bringing him food down there and adding things to make it look better. And I know that turtle knows his life is improving because his friend's coming down there and helping him out.
Is that what you call your turtle, Goliath?
Yeah, he's big. I also got one that I call Pee-wee, and that little turtle, he cracks me up, man. Pee-wee, he's probably about the size, maybe a little bit bigger than a silver dollar or more. I don't know. Maybe he's about as big as a little baseball or something like that. I don't know. He's just a little tiny turtle. But he will show up every single day, and he'll poke his head up in water. And the moment he knows I'm looking at him, boom, he jumps back down in the water and swims off. But I watch as he didn't go too far away, and sometimes he shows up and he's behind Goliath, and he'll look around the moment I make eye contact with him or say, hi, Pee-wee, he ducks down under the water and takes off. So it's pretty funny. It kind of warms my heart when I see him. I say, you little turkey, I want to talk to you anyway.
He's playing with you.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, peekaboo.
He's a tiny turtle, and he will literally wait, because I sit there and I acted like I wasn't looking at him. I could see him out of the corner of my eye. He's still looking over there at me. The moment I turned my face to look at him, he went, boink, down in the water he went. Oh, man, I tell you, you could get so much enjoyment if you could just experience a little bit of what nature has to offer. We've been given something so amazing that if we ever decided to recognize that and respect that, and you know, walk humble with love through your property and watch. They recognize that. If you're not out there chasing them down every day and they see you on a regular basis and they know, look, I seen this guy before. He never tried to hurt me, and so I feel comfortable running. They won't run off from you anymore. It's true.
Well, a lot of people don't have that beautiful gift that we have, Chaz, is some land, you know, the Creator brought us to. But they can always find something, you know, go out of your apartment building and go to a park, you know, or get in your car and drive a little bit out of the city or town and find something, you know, water or a little forest or something. It's so important for the health and well-being of not only our spirit, but our minds and our physical bodies. I truly believe, and I've said this so often, that the mother, the nature out there, is the healer. That's where I always receive healing. And if I'm troubled, if I'm sad or depressed or whatever, and I go and I just sit, something starts to shift, and I just, because I then I start looking around, I get out of my mind. You know, when you go into the, you know, when you're being inundated with the monkey mind pressuring you and all this stuff, if you go out in nature, there's going to be a point when you just stop all that nonsense. Your mind just shuts up and your eyes start to see. Then you start to listen, then you start to feel, and you'll breathe in a great big nice breath, and you'll let it all go, and then something's going to happen. It always does if you make the time to do it and give yourself a chance, you know.
Yep, I agree. And once you do that and you actually experience it for one time, you'll want to go back.
You'll want to go back. Yeah. And I know that nature and the mother wants us to be there, you know, because we're all part of her. We're all part of the nature, the natural beings. And like we say, you know, teamwork. We're all connected. Without each other, how are we going to survive? And without nature, without the mother, and without that, what is out there, how are we going to find that inner peace or the healing or just the quietness that we need?
Yeah, the healing.
Yeah.
And the blessings.
When I first moved here, I can't tell you what the owner that owned the house before called the dog. It was just derogatory. Come here, you little, you know, that's the way he talked to him all the time. And the dog was skittish. He wouldn't come up to you. He'd just look at you and hopefully you'd feed him and leave the food and walk away from it. I said, oh no, that's not a relationship. So I went in the house. I got me a package of hot dogs. I seen where he was laying down. He saw me coming and I stopped. And I just turned around and I sat down in the grass. I munched me a hot dog and I put the rest of the pack in my pocket. You know, with the whole ups because they got juice and stuff. And every little bit I'd pull one out. Next thing you know, I got this snipping on my ear. You know, and I turned my head and he jumped back. It's all right, you know. I sat there and pulled out another hot dog and I started eating that sucker. I figured out I wasn't going to get to know the dog. I had to let the dog get to know me. I sit there and I'm munching that hot dog. Next thing he's snipping on my ear and I reach back and I give him a piece, you know. Shoot. Me and him polished off the rest of them hot dogs and didn't take all that long. Next thing you know, he's laying there and had his head on my lap, and he was my dog ever since then.
You see,
we had to trick him to get him to come into the house. Oh my goodness, it was like almost 2 or 3 months, man. I just stopped feeding him outside. I put the food in the house. It went a whole day. I knew he was getting hungry, you know. So I laid on the couch, which had its back to the door, you know, and I opened the door. He could see the food, and I know he was standing there. And when I heard them little claws tapping the floor as he walked over there, I closed the door, and he was off at the door. I didn't open the door. I let him eat. And when he got done there, I opened the door and let him out. The next day, I put the food in there, opened the door. He wasn't going to fall for that twice. So it went on another day. I opened the door, he came in and ate, I closed the door behind him, and when he got done, he barked at the door, and I let him out. After that, he learned to bark. He'd bark at the door, bark the door to come in. He'd bark and I'd beat him. And from then on, it was okay to come in the house. I've seen sometimes I wished he'd go outside because he's sleeping inside all day. I said, man, go out and play. But, yeah, that's what it took. You had to let the dog get to know you, you know?
Animals have some wonderful little souls, man. I'll tell you what, if you ever give them the opportunity, they'll show you the true meaning of loyalty and love. I ain't joking. I'll tell you what, I've seen wild rabbits out there that they would recognize that I was protecting them from the crazy cats, and they would stand close to me every time I was out there. They knew that whenever I was around that those cats weren't going to bother them. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I wish that people could just experience that for one time. I wish that some people out there who treat their pets like people would understand that they should treat each other like people. You know, you can learn a lot from those wonderful little souls inside those animals.
Yeah, and I don't believe in eating until the animals are fed. Animals eat first.
I'm the same way. I'm always in communication. I've always been, even since I was a child, I've had the conversation with the birds or the creatures. I've had animals, like a skunk, for instance, that I called Skunky Poo, because he used to come around the house, waddle past me. I'd be sitting outside, and I'd got to call him Skunky Poo, and he'd go over to across the street to the neighbor's house who had cats, and they would play. The skunk and the kitties would actually roll around and play, but he would eat from their dish that the people put outside for the cats. But then what happened was the one other neighbor saw this skunk out during the late afternoon and got alarmed and said, this must be a rabid skunk because they're only nocturnal. And they called the police on Skunky Poo. And I was saying in my mind, not out loud, but I was talking to Skunky Poo, and I said, Skunky Poo, lay low, because the police are after you.
He's on the lam.
I didn't see Skunky Poo for like a couple of weeks, so I was like really concerned. I said, uh-oh. Well, hopefully he's hiding, or the police got him, right, and put him in, you know, did away with him because they thought he may have been rabid, which he was not. And skunks are not naturally nocturnal. They do come out in the day. But anyway, I was sitting out late one night outside, and up the driveway comes Skunky Poo, waddle, waddle, waddle. And I got so excited, I yelled, Skunky Poo, I've missed you. Where have you been? And he came right up and put his nose on my foot.
That's so cool.
And then walked on. But the buzzing, the energy, the frequency, it was, I don't know what it was, like his energy of my foot was just buzzing and electrified from that nose of the Skunky Poo.
What?
So I've had these kinds of things happen with creatures over my lifetime, you know?
I understand that feeling, because if you look at that picture that I posted of Goliath and look at the look on that turtle's face, that was enough.
I saw that.
that was enough to melt my heart, man, I'll tell you what.
He's got a lot to say, that Goliath.
Yeah, he don't even really have to. He don't even have to express it in words. He just gave me a look, and I made peace with my neighbor.
Yes, that's what we need to do. We need to be in peaceful, because that helps the animals too.
Yep.
They're doing all their work to hold all things in harmony and balance. You know, they're doing what they need to do, like the spiders, she's weaving her web, and when the breeze touches that spider and the sun shines on that web, it creates a rainbow of colors. And the rainbow of colors and the wind moving that web creates a song, a sound, a frequency. And when the trees are moving and the leaves are shimmering, they're creating their song, and I call it the song of nature. So everyone's out there doing their job, singing and holding all things in harmony and balance. And what are we doing?
Yeah, I tried to explain that in this last Goliath edition that I added. I don't know if you got an opportunity to read that, but that what you just explained, I tried to explain that about the the symphony that's actually going on. It's a
that's right.
It's a song being created specifically for you. I mean, you may be the only one to ever hear it. There will only be one symphony like that. And if you share it with a friend, that's a special time because you and your friend just heard a one-of-a-kind symphony of all the sounds of nature, and it's amazing.
I sent you that link, I think, a while back, or told you about that link called God's Cricket Sound. You remember that?
Yeah, I'll probably have to look it back up to refresh my mind.
I mean, if you want to hear something, it's just so, it's just extraordinary. Somebody taped the sounds of crickets at night, you know, this cricket sounds, what we hear, you know, all that chirping and stuff. But they, I guess you guys would know better what they did. They dropped they wound it down so that it would be slower and slower and slower. Okay, and when you listen to it, it was like angels singing. It was the most beautiful, profound sound that just made you smile. And that's the real sound of the crickets. It's like the frogs. We hear them croaking. Frogs, their sound is the same way. It's like a song. It's beautiful.
To hear both of those in concert with each other and actually paying attention, boy, I'll tell you what, you get a feeling of peace that goes over you sitting down there, like by my ponds. You know, I got like three different ponds that any one of them you go to, just sit down by them and just listen. Just be quiet and listen. You'd be surprised at what you hear. It's amazing.
It's amazing when you listen to the electromagnetic sounds of the earth from a distance that they recorded. It sounds just like the birds.
That's pretty cool, man.
Are you talking about the planets? Too, the planets have sound and song. Some of it is just
our planet sounds like the birds, and it's like the birds are singing what's going through the earth magnetically. Pretty cool.
So I look at that as that's Creator's gift to all, is to the sound, the true song, and the true voice of nature. Every being, every part of nature has its melody, its sacred song, I call it. And they were all given this job to do, and they're doing it. And we were also given a job to do. Where's our song? You know, where's our heartbeat, our spirit song, right? And prayer is a song, love is a song. It's all frequency, caring and compassion. It's all a frequency. It's all the highest frequency, you know.
You know, speaking of a job to do, in my book of faith, it talked about how God created the earth and on the seventh day rested. And there's some time for everything under the sun that you're supposed to, you know, there's time for you to work, there's time for you to play, there's time for you to laugh and cry and all that. There's also time for you to rest. And the sounds that we just got through talking about are so peaceful that if you take the time, you get the opportunity to not only rest, but rejuvenate and actually feel what it's like to be alive.
Well, you will receive something extraordinary if you do go out in nature and really listen to the sounds like we're talking about. You will receive a healing, a love from the Creator that gifted that to us.
Well, I was sitting down here in silence and watching that doggone turtle, and he gave me a gift.
Well, there you go. There's a turtle for everybody listening.
Oh, I believe there is. I believe there is, and I really honestly don't think it was a coincidence that frog, because the day before there was a incident where I swear I heard something hollering for help. That's what it sounded like to me. Help, help. And so I went around the corner and I tracked down the sound, and when I pulled him back the bush, there was what I first thought was a mouse laying there on his back, but it turned out it was a frog, and he flips over and jumps and hops into the pond, and right out of the back of the bushes come this big, giant old black snake. And
right.
So the next day I'm down there skimming off water mill off the pond with my pond skimmer, and this frog swims up and sits right in between my feet and faces out towards the pond. And even though I'm swinging this watermelon skimmer over and smacking it against the tree, slopping it up on the shore, cleaning up the pond, this frog never budged. He was sitting there as if he felt like he was perfectly safe sitting there because of what happened the day before. He knew I wasn't going to let that snake get him.
I love that story.
So you saved him from the snake.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, I honestly heard, help, help, help. And
well, I have a story about the down by the pond. I was sitting there last year, and I was sitting amongst all the flowers and the, you know, what people call the weeds, you know, and all the beautiful wild things. And I'm sitting in there and looking out at the pond, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and there was a very soft breeze, but I noticed this spider's web and how it was kind of moving in the little breeze. And I saw every time it moved a certain way, I saw these rainbow colors on every one of the threads of the web had a rainbow color. And I'm looking at it and saying, how beautiful is that? A rainbow in the spider's web. And then I heard this voice that said there's also sound coming from that. There's a frequency when the breeze touches every one of those, like a harp, you know?
Yeah.
Every one of those spider threads have a sound. We don't really hear it unless we really pay attention. We might hear it. But I was given that message. And then the spider was in the center of the web, and I'm watching this whole thing, and I'm feeling such joy about this information. And then I saw this spider on top of a taller flower or a little weed sitting right on top. And I was having this conversation with nature, saying how beautiful this is. And then I thought, well, what would happen? This just came a question. What would happen if, like, somebody brought a bulldozer in on this land and started breaking down and pushing everything aside and wrecking everything to build a house or a parking lot? You know, and that was like, wow. I said, what would happen to all these spider people and all the little bees and everything like that? Would they just disappear? What would happen to them? And that spider on top of that one little flower started flinging out her leg. And out from her leg came her web threads. And one of them came around and attached to my shoulder. And she did it again. And another one came on and attached to my leg. I'm thinking, wow, she's wrapping me in her spider web. And the next thing I know, she immediately, like magic, whoom, she flew off up into the air on her own web, up into the trees. So it was like she showed me what would happen. How I get out of here is I fly, but it was poof, so quick, she just took off. And that was like such a beautiful gift. I was laughing because she was wrapping me up in her web, and then she took off.
She can learn so much just by watching. That's amazing. I'm sitting here watching it like a movie, man. That would make an awesome movie.
Well, you have to go out. You have to sit still, and you just have to be.
Yeah.
And you will see, like you and I are talking about, and Muddy, amazing things.
And if people ever just understand the true value of every person out there, and they shared these kind of messages with them and uplifted their spirit and gave them the opportunity to just see for one time what it feels like, you know, this world could heal itself. I honestly believe that.
You know, Shazaz, I feel just what you said. I feel if people could know how much they are needed out in nature, how much the beings and nature needs us out there to see and to feel and to smile and to feel uplifted, to receive. Because when we receive and when we experience something like we're talking about, our joy raises the frequency of everything. We giving back with our love and our joy from what we receive from nature is all a part of the great whole, you know. So everyone is so much needed out, and the Mother Earth and all of the nature creatures out there miss the people, miss us being out there.
Yeah, I believe that as well. You know, just think about sometime whenever you really not think about nothing much in life, or maybe even something going wrong in your life, and then somebody just right out of the blue just comes by and does something just so wonderfully profound. That feeling that you get, or the feeling that you get whenever you go out there and do like that pay it forward thing I mentioned earlier about, you know, you at the store and you have a little extra money left over after pay for whatever it is that you got, and then you drop it down on the table and tell the cash register lady or man to benefit somebody behind you, and then you just walk away. There's a feeling that comes over you. It's an energy that it's so wonderful. I mean,
I did that. I paid for someone's gas, a woman and three kids or four kids in her car. I told you that story. But here's another one for you. I went up to the, I'll get over the bridge. I have to pay the toll. And I pull up to put my money in the hand of the person who's collecting money. And he says, oh, those people in that car paid for you.
That's cool.
I thought, wow, that was really... So I did it for the next person.
That's cool. And that's that positive pebble. That's that ripple. That's that smile from your face to somebody else's.
Yeah, I remember it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm short on cash. And I went in to grab my pack of cigarettes and a couple little munchies and my drink. And I said, well, looks like I'm about... like I'm about a buck short, let me go raid the change thing. And this old lady, she's white haired, she looked like she had a lot of energy. She came inside, and as I was leaving, she smiled at me, you know, and I walked in and I went to pay there. She said, nope, that lady just bought all your stuff for you. And I said, well, heck, I need gas. Let me just set on gas. So
let me catch her.
She didn't just pay the rest of it, she paid all of it. So I was like, wow. You know, and I've seen her a couple times since. And you know, she's got more energy than I do. She must be putting out like that and collecting the energy of it. I'll tell you what, man. I'm like, God, yeah, bless her some more, man. She's a giver.
Well, just what
give
you
her
said.
More to give. Give her more to give.
When you give out, you receive tenfold. I feel that too.
Well,
I needed it that night, man. I really did.
That's what makes a good team.
I had to put more munchies on the counter.
That's what makes a good team. When your team feels like, you know, you're giving just as much as you're getting, you know. Yesterday I talked about how my family, I brought members of my family up to help my wife unload for, load back up for after our garage sale was over. Because I knew she would have to been done that all by herself, and it was a lot of work, and I figured if I brought my family, I could get it, help her get it done and, you know, benefit her. But we didn't stop there. My my friend and his wife were loading up their stuff as well, and they had a lot more than we did. And so we went right from helping my wife to helping his family, and we worked together as a well-oiled machine, a team, you know, and then we didn't even stop there. Before it was all said and done, we followed them to their house, and we helped them unload it from the house so that we could beat the rain. And you know, the look on their faces and the thankfulness that we actually took the time to do that, it was worth all the effort, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Because the blessing of just seeing the look on their faces and the gratitude that, you know, we all worked together like that, and then not to mention we had fun doing it, you know, we just kind of, you know, joked around and had some fun and did some work, and we did it all together, and it made a really light chore of what would have been probably a hard job for just his family alone.
Yeah. I imagine the next time somebody moved in, they were like, all right, cool, we're going to have some more fun.
Yeah.
Where's
everybody? Well, you know, there might come a time when my family might be in need, and they'll remember that time, and they'll come over there, and we'll do the same thing again, and that's one of the things I'm just trying to point out here. You know, it's the average Joe that usually rushes into danger to help everybody else out. It's the average Joe reaching in their pocket to help out the homeless people. It's the average Joe reaching in their closets to pull out clothes, or in their pantries to pull out food to take to people in need, you know, people during storms. There's so many stories out there, and I'd love to put them all on here on the Knights of the Round Table. I'd love people to come share their stories so that people know that this world isn't nearly as bad as what they say it is. Sure, the world's messed up, and a lot of people have gone astray, and people have made wrong choices, and people haven't really... The light bulb hasn't kicked on, so to speak. They don't get it. But just the little examples of what we said that nature has to share with you, if you could experience that one time, and you really understand the true meaning of love whenever you look into the eyes of a little animal that you fed for the first time, that maybe his entire existence before he met you was of misery, because every time he was around people, all they did was yell at him. You know, all they did was kick him around, or, you know, he always had a negative, whatever, you know, with experience with whatever people that he did see. The same thing would apply with the animals in nature, because when you're looking around and these animals, they see you coming and they take off running, because they're not running because they trust you. They're running because somewhere down along the line, they learn that being around man's not a good idea. You just don't fare well when you're around man. But when they find somebody like myself or Barbara or Muddy, that we earn their trust.
Well, I read the stories, the diaries of Lewis and Clark when they first came, you know, up into the territories, and they met the Mandan people, you know, there. But the interesting thing was that they spoke about the animals, like the buffalo, the elk, all kinds of animals that they came across. They were writing this in their diaries, and they said these animals were so curious that they walked up to us. And then they noted that they started to, because they were hungry, they started shooting these animals, and that changed the whole dynamic between them. And every time they would come across animals, the animals would turn around and run.
Yeah.
Newborns.
That says a lot.
Your mind here. Let me blow your mind here. I left Virginia, and I had this trailer, and the guy said he hauled logs on it. He said it'll haul as much as you put on it. Had no springs. It was solid. I think it had one of them axles from a house trailer on it. But this thing was old. I mean, I'm talking quarter inch steel and everything. When I went across the scales between my van and the trailer, we were 19,400 pounds, and I had to get rid of a couple thousand so I could get above 45 miles an hour. And I brought extra spares with me, strapped to the trailer and everything, because I had a tire shop while I was in Virginia as well. And everything was 8-lug, everything on the van and everything on the trailer. Here I am going across to Louisiana. It was either Louisiana or Alabama one. But anyway, the road construction was hell. And here I am. I got two bottle jacks and one of these railroad jacks. I blew a tire on the trailer, and I was going, oh no. So I got it up, and I looked up and I said, man, God, I'm gonna need some help. Man, it wasn't 30 seconds, here comes this black and white car, or all black car, and it was a state trooper. I swear, this guy looked a lot like Joe Coffey, and I think he was bigger. If you've seen The Green Mile.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this guy was huge, and you talk about black skin. I mean, it was jet black and shiny. And a heck of a smile, warm, nice guy. He said, look like you're having some trouble there. He didn't once ask for my license or insurance. He didn't ask for nothing. I said, I'm trying to get these lugs turned. He said, but I think they've been here so long, they won't turn. And I got this huge tire cross that gives me extra leverage and everything. And he says, well, you know, I'm not allowed to touch it. But if you put your hands on it, I'll give you a little help. So I've got 8 lugs. I stuck the wrench on that thing, and I started pulling, and he put his big mitts on mine, which hid mine. And I swear he almost broke my hands on the first lug. He put so much power on that thing, and I knew he had the power because of his size. He was bigger than that guy in Joe, that was called Joe Coffey, Michael Duncan Green. And he kind of sounded like him, except he sounded intelligent. But he was really, really nice. But I tell you what, I dreaded the next 7 lugs, and they were just as hard. When I got done, my hands wouldn't work very well. We got that thing mounted, and I was laughing, and I was talking to him, and I and thanking him, and I looked around. There's no car. There's no Officer Joe Coffey, and I'm looking down the road as far as I can see. And I know the last time I heard him speak was 30 seconds before I noticed he was gone. There is no way he could have drove that far. And I got, you know, you get them shudders that run up and down your spine. This was a warm one. And I was like, you. And I was like, wow. And I'm looking both ways, and this is flat land.
Oh, beautiful.
No sign of the car. No sign of nothing. It's like, ain't nobody going to believe this.
The only proof I had is
my hand still worked. And I had a hard time picking up the bottle jacks and all that stuff and putting them away. My hands hurt that much. It took that much power. And I was gripping as hard as I could to keep my hands from being crushed. But if it wasn't for him, there was nobody else more perfect to help me with them old lugs. And we twisted the wrench a little bit. That tire iron. We really did. The tire cross, we twisted it a little bit.
Well, I tell you what I've learned through my life. Never question miracles. Just be thankful and be blessed. That's as simple as that. You know, and when you tell me a story like that, you ain't got no worry about no worries in the world. I have no doubt in my mind you experienced exactly what you said. And that's,
oh, I ain't got no
wonderful.
Doubt either, man. You know what? I love Joe. When I watched The Green Mile, I fell in love with Joe Coffey, and I almost cried, you know, at the end. But you know what? When this guy come by and he had that smile, and the way he talked was just so warm, you know. And I was expecting him to go, well, I got to ask for your license and proof of insurance. He didn't ask for none of that. And that tells me that it wasn't a cop. I'm sorry. It wasn't a cop. But when I first saw the car roll up, I'm going, oh, good, here we go. You know? But no, it didn't turn out that way. And the ending, when I looked for him, I said, no way. No way. So, and then I got that warm shudder, and I said, ooh. I ain't never forgot it.
I honestly believe that miracles happen every day. Sometimes they're so small that you just don't even realize it. I believe we step over miracles all day long. Don't realize how truly blessed we are.
Can you think of anybody else that would have helped me get through that? I think he was the only person. The only person that could have turned that thing and twist that doggone huge, heavy-duty tire cross with me.
Sometimes the blessings or whatever, the miracles, they come from the strangest directions, in the least likely places. Look, folks, there's so much more to this world than meets the eye. And when I say stuff to you like you're more powerful than you can possibly imagine, you need to seriously take that to heart. If you think that what we're saying is just a bunch of feel-good stuff, maybe so. Go out there and try to experience it yourself. Just let the world show you things, you know. Let nature show you things. Get part of it. The challenge that I talked about, you know, get together a team and come back and tell us next week on the Knights of the Round Table how it all worked out for you. It doesn't matter what kind of deal it is. You know, maybe y'all get together and try to research something and do it as a team and, you know, or, you know, try to put some sort of benefit together, whatever. whatever you do, just do it together and utilize and pay attention to one another, the gifts that you've been given, and you might be surprised the results. The things that you were told, they're not possible. This world's told us so many times that things aren't possible that we got to the point where the majority of us actually believe the lie. You know, we talked a lot about nature. If you work in harmony with nature, there's a lot of people out there that want to save the planet, but they need to learn how to work in harmony with nature. I mean, it's easy to talk about it. It's a little bit more effort to actually get out there and do it. You don't get out there and be a good caretaker on your own little piece of land. And even if you don't have your own little piece of land, while you're out and about, you know, you see something that needs fixed, you just fix it. That's what we do best. We fix things. You fix things in your family's lives and in your friends' lives, and they fix things for you. And if you let nature help you, nature will fix you too. It's that simple. I'm telling you, we have been so incredibly blessed beyond all explanation that if we only paid attention to what we've been given, you would be amazed. More than amazed.
I think if that man grabbed the tire, crossed his hands, would have went through it. That's what I believe.
He probably would have.
He actually said that he can't turn the tire across by himself, and I figured it was rules.
He might have been an angel, brother. He might have been a spirit. He might have been.
I've thought about it a bunch of times, and that's the only thing I can that just stuck in my head.
Well, for whatever reason, I told a similar story, and it just kind of dawned on me when this was all going on. As my wife and I were heading back from our trip to Michigan, we stopped in Hannibal, Missouri, and we stayed an extra day because we wanted to spend more time together. But on our journey back, the weather started getting really bad. I mean, the rain was coming down so incredibly hard, you could barely see where you were going. And we saw ahead of us, there was some flashing lights up ahead of us, and there was a state trooper that was out there, and he was just out there in the pouring rain, waving people down, giving the signal to slow down, slow down, slow down. And so we slowed down, and for some reason it dawned on me, I just need to turn my doggone flashers on. And I turned my flashers on, and there was a vehicle in front of me that you could barely see their taillights. They were towing a trailer. And I knew that if somebody didn't pay attention to that state trooper out there, and they flew around me because I had my flashers on, that they might slam right into there. Somebody was going to get hurt. But the moment I turned my flashers on, I watched the cars in the next lane, and all the cars behind me, they turned their flashers on, and everybody slowed down. And so as I got way on down the road, something just dawned on me. Almost like what you were explaining there, Muddy, that I didn't know whether or not that state trooper was really there. I didn't know whether or not, for some reason, at the right place, at the right time, there was a brave individual standing out there trying to slow people down to warn them that they were coming into some really bad weather, and it was serious, because the weather and the wind, there was tornado warnings out, and the rain and the wind was just so heavy, you could hardly see where you were going. But we slowed down, I turned my flashers on, and everybody at least that point in time were driving responsibly, and nobody got hurt. You know, take it how you want, but to me, I kind of felt like something was really going on there above all comprehension of normal things, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, I've heard many stories like Muddy has shared too, and you also, you know, about someone appearing to help someone else, and that person will turn around to thank them, and there's nobody there, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened had had I not listened, or if you had an incident like that and somebody helped you out, what would have happened if that would have never happened? There would have been all kinds of consequences. They say in science, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. I can only imagine what would have happened if that man had to been out there doing what he was doing, and people traveling at 70, 80 miles an hour in that kind of weather. It could have ended in a very bad situation. But because
you know, the angels don't appear like with wings and white dresses on, you know.
You know,
they appear in many different forms, like a person, you know. Or some person that means something to you, like that movie, that actor, how it touched your heart, and this, then suddenly you're in trouble, and it's almost like Creator says, well, let's send somebody who he appreciates and loves or is, was touched by. Let's send this angel down, but let him look like this actor.
Well, in my case, I used to be a police officer, and so I have a profound respect for the good officers out there that put themselves in harm's way at all times. So that could have very well been the case, but for whatever reason, I had that feeling like I didn't even know if that man was really there. You see what I'm saying? And just that thought in my mind that, you know, maybe there was an angel on the side of the road, because it wasn't too much prior to that. We had passed several different, there's a lot of road memorials out there, and they actually put signs up for fallen troopers and stuff like that. And I don't know why that thought had crossed my mind, but it did, that maybe he wasn't really there, but that one flash of what I saw was enough to get me to turn my flashers on this to slow the rest of the traffic down. You see what I'm saying? You said earlier that, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and that may very well been the case. It may just been the case that the poor guy was out there in the rain trying to save everybody's life or whatever, but nonetheless, that thought crossed my mind. And if it crossed my mind, that means it must have been a possibility. What do you think?
I believe you're right. Oh, the one thing I didn't say, that was a 19.5-inch wheel with a 19.5-inch, I think a 6 or 7 ply tire. I don't know if anybody's ever even seen one. I didn't, but how long has it been since they made them?
Yeah, a long time.
It was an old tire. The one on the left side is still there. It's still on my trailer, by the way. So,
but as far as...
The lugs were 1 1/8. It took the biggest... it took the biggest size on that big lug wrench.
Well, I can imagine how hard that'd be.
I don't think there was anybody else that could have helped me turn them stupid things.
But on what?
The time itself just explains how rare that situation could, or the odds, you know?
On what?
Well, it's on, like, in a human, or not something a human could do.
Yeah. And on what you were saying there about angels coming in all different types of shapes, you know, I kind of look at that old Goliath sort of like an angel, you know, but, you know, there's people that you show up in their lives at certain times when they're in need, and they vice versa, they'll show up in your lives at certain times. If you really honestly look back at your life, even though you've been through a lot of trials and tribulations, something or someone had been there with you through that entire journey. It's like that footsteps poem that somebody posted in the chat room last week or whatever. There's a whole lot to be said about that. So I don't close my eyes to any possibility. I don't even close my eyes to the possibilities that one day this world will wake up and they'll realize what we've been saying all along. That together, as a team, there ain't nothing we can't accomplish. We have powers beyond your wildest imagination if we ever choose to use them. And we have the resources to back it up. There ain't no reason for anybody to starve to death in this world. We're in the year 2017. We have amazing technology. There ain't no reason for anybody to be homeless unless they so choose to do so. There ain't no reason for all these ridiculous wars and all the hatred that goes on with everything, the political bickering back and forth. If you could get our leaders to be real leaders instead of bosses, like Stephen Gibbons posted in there about that picture of what makes a boss or a leader. If you could get our leaders to be true leaders, to be one of the knights of the round table, that, you know, we're all equal and we all work together, because that's what we do. We help each other out, just like the average Joe that rushes in there to help people after a flood or a tornado or some sort of natural or even a man-made disaster. You got the best of you still within you, and you got that power to utilize that anytime you want, both good times and bad. It don't have to be a tragedy that brings us together. It can be the love that we have for our humanity and one another, and our children's future that we could run in there for. Sometimes it's good just to do something good, just to be doing something good, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Well, I want to respond to what you said about if we had good leaders. So if you say if we had good leaders, and people reply, well, the leaders suck and we're never going to have good leaders, they're this, they're that, the corrupt. So that's a creation. It's almost like creating that reality. You believe that. That's what you're sending out to, let's say, sending that message out to Creator.
Yeah.
But if you say, I want to pray for our leaders to become good people, to have good hearts, and to think about the children, to think about the earth and the coming generations. That's going to be my prayer. I'm not going to go into the negative and say, nah, it'll never work. These leaders are all corrupt. So if you say that, that's what you're sending out, and you're creating that. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do create your reality.
I say we start teaching each other the same thing we've been teaching each other, and we share that with our leaders as well. You know, there's a phrase called lead by example. You know, and that's why that deal that Stephen posted in there, that was the example that I liked, because the leader was the one at the front of the rope pulling. And that's what needs to be done. And if these folks out there who actually get in positions of power had that heart and mindset, we would have such a better chance to build a better future for everybody. You know,
well, there's another way to look at it too. No matter how corrupt they are, let's say all of a sudden you need a lawyer or a liar. Don't you want the best one? If you got these people finally on your side instead of against you, hey, yeah, definitely pray for them. Hope they see the light. Maybe they turn over a new leaf. Maybe something will. Yeah, pray for them. Always pray for your leaders, because they are in charge.
Yeah.
You want somebody in charge on your side or against you?
But also, they are put in positions where they could be, tempted, specifically tempted to become corrupt. You know, they're going to be tempted.
Right.
Because they're in positions to do good works. If people are doing good works, they're going to be tempted.
Yep.
And it just came to my thought, you know, if you believe that we're made in God's image, all people, that means them too. So if we believe we're made in God's image, how are we behaving ourselves? How do we live our life? How do we, function? If you believe that you were made in God's image, if you're a child of Creator, of God, that means all others are that way too. And I always say, therefore, but the grace of God go I. It could be me that has made a mistake. It could be me that got turned and twisted and tempted, you know. So we need to offer our prayers for the brothers and sisters who are lost, who are corrupted, who have been tempted and fallen hard.
Well, at this stage in the game, if I were God, I wouldn't give me godlike powers, because I'm not ready. So,
well, I don't. I think we have been given certain powers.
I believe
we
have
given the powers of God, but I think Creator gave us certain abilities for sure.
I'm a pretty positive guy, and I've helped people out all my life. I wouldn't give me godlike powers, because I know I've been through enough last year or two
I'd change a few things that I might regret.
Let's just say hypothetically, which some people don't like talking hypotheticals, but let's just say hypothetically we were gods and goddesses in training, and at some time way down into the future that we would be sent out into the universe to create our own world. So we got to learn right now. And right now, there's not a whole lot of us down here in the pool, so to speak, that are ready to go out and create our own world. Even though, to some extent, we do help add to the havoc of this world. We do create our own destinies and our own mess and stuff like that. But if we ever become truly enlightened and truly learn what it's all about and to be truly appreciative of everything that we've been given, these trials and tribulations that we go through is what defines us. And I think that at some point in time, all of mankind will eventually wake up. And those who don't, I don't know, maybe they get sent back to a different world and they got to try again till they succeed, almost like, you know, graduating from school or whatever.
But I feel that we've been given free will. I feel that we have also experienced ego because we're earthbound, you know, creatures, but that we are sacred children. And I feel that we do, on some levels, create our reality with the choices that we make, with that free will that we're given. And that you could say, on some level, this is a spiritual challenge or a spiritual test, like we were talking about earlier. How are we going to respond to something? Are we going to be in the harmony with it, or are we going to be in the negative with it? But I'd like to have a conversation sometime with you guys about the divine plan. Or is there a divine plan? Or what do you think about the divine plan? And what does that really mean in relation to ourselves as humans?
Well, I'll tell you, to some extent, what it means to me is that I keep mentioning all the time, when I look out here at this world, and I look out at what's going on in the people, and for all the things that I've learned through my life, I see that there is a better way. And I see that I honestly believe in the dream that one day, if we really decided to pull all the resources and the gifts that we've been given, we could literally bring about a heaven on earth. I believe we have that capability. You know, some people think it's written in stone, but even in my book of faith, where it said that Jesus said that unless these days be shortened, these things must come to pass, which told me that unless something changed, this is how this would end up. You know, and you don't even have to be a spiritual or religious type individual to understand that by looking at the path that you're on, that you keep doing certain things, your luck's going to run out. You know, you can't go out there robbing people and mugging people or hurting people, where eventually karma ain't going to catch back up to you and things are going to happen to you that's going to affect your life. That's not going to be in a benefit mode, if you understand what I'm trying to say. You're going to reap the rewards of your own seeds, the fruits that you plant in your life, and someday it may not turn out the way you like it. Now, if you took all that knowledge that you had and you walked a different path, you walked humble through life and respectful for your fellow brothers and sisters and worked in harmony with nature, by the time you get to the end of the road, you've gained a lot. You've gained a lot of blessings and wisdom that if you shared with somebody else and they followed that same path. You see where I'm going there?
Yep.
That's the choice that we've been given. We could sit here and we can argue and fight and fuss and complain about life, or we can throw positivity after positivity and good information and peace, hope, and love in every direction in hopes that it finally catches on, and when everybody sees the light and realizes we don't have to wait for a tragedy to do the right thing. We can do the right thing today. And by us doing the right thing, we do that pay it forward thing where, like you did, Patty, when somebody in front of you paid the toll to get through the deal, you paid for the person behind you. And in turn, they make, Barbara, sorry, I do it again.
Yes.
But you guys are like really wonderful souls, and you're so much alike. I mean, you could be sisters.
We
They are sisters.
We are sisters.
Well, there you go.
You know, let me put this to you. A lot of people, the thing that shapes their future is what has happened to you.
Yep.
I have to say, no, it's not. It's what you do when it happens that changes your future.
That's it. How you respond.
Things are going to happen to you. That's all there is to it. Yep. Now, maybe some things happen to certain people just because they are that certain person. But I tell you what, it still isn't what shapes your life. It's what you do when it happens that shapes.
I agree with you there, and it's sort of like you can't sit around blaming God.
Yeah.
Why did this happen to me? Why didn't God do this, or why didn't God do that?
Because in order for us to have the free will, the actual choice to decide for our own destinies, we had to be left alone. We had to be left to our own devices. And if anybody's starving in this world, it's because man allowed it. You know, we got the resources right now. There shouldn't be nobody starving. There shouldn't be no wars over things. Man allows it. You know, we try to justify our actions. Well, this bad guy, he's attacking us, so we got to go over there and mop him and all of his relatives into the Stone Age and teach him a lesson. But maybe there was a better way, you know. Did we take enough time to find out if there was a better way and try to enact that solution first? You see what I mean?
God sent out all the children, all his children. God sent them all out onto the Mother Earth, as parents do. You let your children go. And you hope for the best, and you pray, you know, you pray for them, and you hope for the best. We gave them he gave us free will. We all come down here, and we have our opportunities to do the best.
Yeah, and you know what? When you do the best that you can, and you let your light shine, darkness can't overcome light. You got one single candle in a room, that room ain't dark anymore. You throw two candles in the room, not only does it get warmer in there, you got more light, less darkness. And you turn on all these lights.
Even if things are bleak.
Yeah.
Even if things are so troubling, even if things are really bad, you know, it's up to you again what you do with that. What you choose, your free will.
Yep.
That's how I look at it.
And I look at it like every single morning. I've said this before. When the sun comes up in the morning, you got a clean slate for that day. That's amazing because it's a time of renewal. The sun just came up the next time, and you got all this day, like during the daytime, and you got choices to make through that day. You could either repeat what you did yesterday, which may not have went over so well, or you can try to create a better world for yourself and those around you and make the world a better place.
I got to differ just a little bit, beg your pardon. Don't let the sun fall down upon your wrath.
Well, be thankful
when
for the
sun
coming
goes down, you should forgive them and get rid of that day. Then, then when you sleep, you get to learn the lessons and you'll sleep better. And then next morning you get up, your day will go better.
Oh, I understand your message. You're talking about carrying your grudge forward like I did.
Also, I feel, you know, be grateful for the sun coming up.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
Be grateful for that day, you know. It's like, look at it that way. Don't, like you say, Muddy, don't carry the revenge thing forward. Don't do that, right?
Yeah, none of that pay it back forward stuff. You got to
pay it back. Don't go backwards.
Well, I used to go around and I used to have this concept that any day above the dirt is better than a day below the dirt.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's all to me about free will.
Yeah,
I think free will, Creator gifted us with such a beautiful thing, free will, because you can choose to be that good person, that kind person, or you can choose the other direction, and then both of them have consequences, if you want to call it that, or both of them create something. So it's nobody to blame. I can't blame my mother, I can't blame my father, I can't blame God, I can't blame nobody. I'm responsible for the choices that I make and how I behave and how I walk this wheel of life.
Yep.
That's how I look at it.
Patty in the chat room threw a few chat threw messages out there that I think we missed.
Oh.
She said, so what if the leaders we see are corrupt and have been corrupt? Do we say that, oh, I will ignore that? We'll ignore the knowledge that was given, what Jesus himself said. He said the money changers were not doing the Lord's work. He said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. What good our discernment if we do not use it? And she said, I will indeed pray for all, but I do not require a leader, nor do I require corruption to be acceptable, nor will I support the institution that we are ruled by, we created to control. Or it was
progressive.
I
totally agree. You know what the eye of a needle is?
Pretty small.
No, not exactly what most people think. In those days, rather than going to the big gate, they had openings in the wall that you couldn't get your camel through, but you could carry things through and you'd go through your as a person.
Ah.
That was to keep people with the armor and stuff like that from being able to go through. And that was called the eye of the needle.
Wow.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that. Thank you.
In other words, you can't pass through with all your stuff. It ain't right. Happen. You leave it behind.
Well, a lot of words
that's
of wisdom.
True.
A lot of words of wisdom. If we just, you know, we get it. I understand we get it. And even sometimes the words of wisdom, even teaching, every day is a learning experience for me. I get taught something new every single day. I get reminded of the blessings that I've been given on a regular basis, because every time I think that I've seen and heard it all as far as wisdom goes and love and common sense and, you know, good things that people do for each other, somebody comes out there and surprises me with something else. A turtle of all things taught me something wonderful. And I was able to find some peace in that. That's just one little tiny example of what could be accomplished if we decide we want a better world. So for all the naysayers out there in the world, you know, all the negativity that you put out there is just another link in that chain that Muddy mentioned earlier about the ball and chain that was dragging him down.
No weak link there, Bubba.
Yeah, we're just putting more links in that ball and chain that's dragging us down. If our leaders aren't doing the job, then I guess it's time for us to step up and do the job instead. And we can do the job instead not by trying to overthrow their system, but build it a system right alongside theirs, a system of people with the understanding that when we work together, we get things done. And we don't wait for tragedies to make good things happen. We do it on a regular basis just because that's who we are. And that's the power that was given to us, the power of love, the power of the spoken word, the power of our actions. Folks, if you're looking for a miracle, take a look in the mirror. You are the miracle you've been looking for. And you're the miracle the rest of us need. You're the piece of the puzzle that makes that picture complete. That's all we're saying.
I believe that's very true. I tell you what, the only times I've actually seen miracles happen in my life is when I've been helping a lot of people.
Yep, and how many miracles is...
If you ain't going out there paying your dues, don't expect your dues back.
How many miracles has rained down on you since?
I don't know. I've been through enough here over the last year to... I ain't done much and ain't seen much, but I did ask for one thing. I asked for anything said against me to backfire, and I said that's it. I can't handle the stress. I just want to see it all turn around, and I've watched it all turn around. It doesn't mean that it didn't have to go through it all, but you know. And it got worse before it got better, as usual. But if it didn't get worse, it wouldn't have got better. It's kind of like a pimple. Until you pop that stupid thing, and go through that last bit of pain, it's not going to get any better. And then the healing comes. And that's when you start looking back and you start seeing how stupid you were to begin with and why it happened. And you say, oh, duh. And then you learn.
I honestly believe in the power of prayer as well. And reason why I say that...
I prayed one prayer that shaped the last 6 months of my life. And I watched it. I watched everything. Everything I prayed for, and it all straightened out.
The reason why I say that, and I also say that you might want to pray with a little bit of responsibility. Because I wanted my ponds filled up so bad, I was praying, Lord, please fill my ponds up. And in 5 hours, or 1 hour, we got over 5 inches of rain. And it filled my ponds. You couldn't put any more water in there. And then when I told my friend that I had prayed the night before for rain, and he said, well, you're the reason why my basement flooded.
I always say, be careful what you pray for.
Yeah, that was it.
Tell him you're welcome.
I told him I did.
I think the believing in prayer is trust and faith.
Yep.
If you don't have that trust and faith, you wouldn't even believe in prayer.
That's right. You wouldn't know what you was missing out on.
Heck, if I move up around, I'm going to put a pool liner in my basement.
Well, it's that time again, folks. Time to wrap up this show. Stephen Gibbons put a chat and message that says, that's because you have grown up, Patty. You're not a child looking for answers from authority. You created your own answer and create your own solutions. We need a lot of others to do the same. Only then can we come together as adults to create solutions as we do here. But it needs to be done on a global scale. Prayer thoughts is good. It can be proven to have effect to the quantum levels, but there are more steps to create the next world. We need to discuss our thoughts or prayers. Somebody just scrolled up on me. Then we need action. As we learned in the third physical reality, action is required. If something needs done or moving, or we have to come together to move it or do whatever needs to be doing. And Patty said, yes, Stephen, I agree wholeheartedly. Basically, they get it. They get it, folks. When things need to be done, the best person to do it is you and me. All of us together. That's what makes up a team. So the question mark on the team right there is only there because you have to choose it. It's like free will. You choose what you're going to do. You choose whether you want to be an individual working by yourself for your own gain, or you want to work together and make sure that everybody gets to enjoy the same blessings that you do. That's not such a bad thing. What do you guys think?
I think when I prayed, I said, me and Job, God. And he said, yep, and I blessed Job. And I said, oh, so.
Yep, and last but not least in there, Patty says, we will never have leaders who will do for us what we choose not to do for ourselves. That's right, because there's also a saying out there that said, Lord helps those who help themselves. And that's there's a lot to be said there. You know? Like,
And the meek shall inherit the world. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That too, right?
Blessed are the peacemakers, for the meek shall inherit the world. There's a lot to be said there. So,
the blessed are the peacemakers is the first part of that sentence.
Oh, yeah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So.
Peace, yeah. Everyone. Peace.
So hold that peace. Find the peace, the way to find peace in your heart.
Yep. So, who wants to go first around the table there for your last comment?
Pat? No, I'll just go. I just want to say thank you again, and I'm always happy to be here with you on a Sunday morning and listen to your beautiful words and get to know you more about your good heart, both of you, Muddy and Shaziz. So I'm very grateful. I feel really happy to have shared some things. And, yeah, Bilamaya.
It is always an honor, Barbara. And I'm sorry I keep calling you Patty, but she's such a wonderful soul, too. It's easy to get you two mixed up.
We're often getting ourselves mixed up.
Yeah. So what about you, Muddy? Muddy?
Oh, yeah. I'm so humble and meek, I'm going to inherit most of the earth, so... y'all bow down and worship anytime you want, and I'll be graceful. Hey, y'all just have a wonderful day. Don't forget to thank God for the blessings you have, and use a little foresight in what you see coming and what to do about it. I'm pretty sure it'll all be evident when it happens. Try not to, if you feel like you want to choose somebody out, count to 10. And hold your breath. Usually somebody will interrupt you, and then you'll think about it even longer. And by the time it all comes out, you'll say, oh, yeah, good thing I didn't open my mouth. That's when you find out how stupid you are, and I guess that's what makes you meek. So you keep smiling, have a ball, bless those that you can, and the blessings will come your way. Take care.
That's right. Little words of wisdom and common sense can go a long ways. But love, I tell you what, love can take and fix it all. There ain't no more powerful weapon in your arsenal. If you use love as a weapon, you know, that you can fight off all the evil that ever existed. Doing the right thing.
I just have one more thing to say about love, if I might.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because so many people are righteous and saying they are, you know, doing God's work and righteous, and the only thing I feel is one of the main pieces is about that. We talk about love quite often, and I think that people need to really reflect upon that, those words. What does that really mean? What does that really mean, the teachings about love and compassion and forgiveness? These are crucial things in this timeline right now. And if you are arrogant, and if you think you're above others because you know, claim to be a so-called religious person or whatever, you know, just pay attention. Yeah, because there's a simple thing. All, this is the simplest, but the most difficult and challenging is that love that we were told is so key.
I tell you what my version of love is. I feel like love is the full armor of God. I feel like love is the arms of a mother around her child, a brother hugging his brother, a sister hugging her sister. I feel like the times that we are needed the most could be so simple as just a kind word or a smile. I feel that's what the true meaning of love is all about. Not expecting nothing in return, not trying to harm anybody, not trying to do nothing but just to show the world that you care. And there's somebody out there right now that really seriously needs your love. Somebody needs that full armor of God. And I believe God is love. I believe our Creator is love. I believe, you know, I've had visions in my life that... whether you want to call them a vision or a dream, they affected my life so profoundly that here I am today trying to spread that little bit of light somewhere around the world. And I humble myself, and I am honored to sit next to any one of you that have that same mindset, that want to do something positive to make this world a better place, because we can hear all the complainers. We know who those people are. They show themselves all the time. They don't believe in each other. They don't believe in possibilities. They don't believe in the dream. They don't believe that they've been blessed. And we're trying to show them.
Let me add one more thing to you, and I'll humble my mouth and close it. When you help people, sometimes you have to choose. To say don't cast your pearls among the swine. But sometimes you say, well, if you do it even to the, if you don't help even the poorest, then you've done it to me, and that'd be God speaking. But then they say money answereth all things. When you've helped people out and given what you can afford, and then they take everything, it's very hard to forgive. If you want to be forgiven, you need to, and we all need to be forgiven here and there, you need to learn how to forgive, or you take that into yourself and it'll affect your health. And it's not a good thing. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to forgive. But like you said, the answer is basically love. Love doesn't need an answer. It is the answer.
That's right.
And only through that love you're going to find out a way to forgive. And it may be the hardest thing. It doesn't mean you got to open yourself up to an attack again. Thus, you don't cast your pearls among the swine again. But you can forgive them. And when you do that, things will change. That's when things start turning in your favor. And you pray for all things set against you to backfire, and you can sit back and watch it. And you can grieve for those that you tried to help that hurt you. So
it's hard to have a war.
But it will happen. And you'll watch it. It's in there. It says you will sit there and you will watch them fall.
Yeah. It's hard to have a war when both sides love one another.
I wish I didn't have to watch people fall.
Yeah, me
but
too, man.
It's happening. So,
when our brothers and sisters,
love is the answer. There's no answer. You don't need to answer love. Love is the answer, and you stay with that.
When our brothers and sisters fall, we have the power to reach our hand down and give them a hand back up. It's as simple as that.
Love your enemies, Bubba.
Yeah, folks, we got to go. I really appreciate everything. Every Sunday when we do this show together, when we have this round table, I'm just so amazed. I am just so incredibly amazed, and I feel honored and humbled, and I am so thankful to be a servant to my brothers and sisters out there. If there's anything that I said that benefits you, please share it with somebody.
And don't act like you're pressured for time. You own the station, Bubba.
Yeah, well, I've got a family outside the station that need a little bit of care taken, too.
All right, Bubba.
So,
I love you.
With that said, you know, I got to be fair to them as well as I got to be fair to the world. I'm trying to be out there to put my positive pebble in the pond, and I still got to do the same here at the home, you know, because there's a saying out there. I think one of the Chinese guys said it. Might have been Japanese. I don't know. He who lives in glass house should not throw stone, you know. And so I want my house to be stone free. I want my house to be an example. I want the land that I stand on to be something that somebody can see that, you know, these are what you can do if you choose to do it. You see what I mean?
And if you wash your glass good enough, your enemies will knock themselves out before they come in.
Yeah, I did that one time. My cousin, he took some Windex and cleaned up this sliding glass door at a glass company we used to work at. And it was so clean that it looked like the doggone door was still open, and I ran face first into that thing.
I tell you what works even better than the Windex is when you're done washing it, put some turtle wax on it. And then,
yeah.
My goodness, you'll look at it and know it's there, and you wonder how far away it is. Turtle wax is something else. It's got mineral oil in it.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bink had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more, we're able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quite something able. We're off so bad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.